killing takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent them with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. He kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know,
Rory might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
All right. Speaking of bodyguards, Tom Casale, you know who's going to need a bodyguard?
Who?
Deion Branch, because if he keeps this up, I'm coming after him.
You're coming after him?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole Patriots Nation's after him.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale and Paul and Andy are out getting
Paul's
some gridiron grillers.
Paul's probably eating and Andy's probably picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl.
We got a big, big show today for everyone.
Him and Andy and Felger getting on me at the press conference because I picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, calling me Homer.
Who was? Andy was too?
Andy and Felger.
Oh, he's going to get it.
Andy picked the Colts, by the way.
Oh, man. Not, you know, if you're going to pick another team,
pick one that has a chance.
Absolutely. Anyway, all right, we got a big show. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Gary in the booth. And we're going to talk about Deion Branch, but we're going to get into the Bills game coming up this Sunday. And in the last half hour, we're going to quickly go through the picks because I know we're going to need as much time as we can to get to emails and all that stuff. So we'll do our picks quickly at the end of the show. But Tom, this whole Deion Branch, before I was kind of being nice, hey, Deion's got a right to, you know, try to get his money and all this stuff, and, you know, if he comes back, everything will be fine. I'm taking off the kid's glove now.
I don't think he can come back at this point.
I think at this point, it's gone too far. Mm-hmm. He's being a selfish player. I'm no longer blaming the agent.
Yeah, and they're talking about suing the team.
Yeah.
If you're going to sue the team, you're not coming back and
he's
playing.
He's the one that's breaking a contract.
Right. He's a selfish jerk.
The kid's gloves are off. I'm no more Mr. Nice
Fred
Guy.
Fred is not happy.
You know, because you try to be nice so that when he does come back, everything's going to be okay. Forget that now. I'm mad at Deion Branch. He's being selfish. This has gone on way too far. You know, this is ridiculous. So I'm now, you know, calling him out, saying, "Get your ass into the locker room, get your uniform on, and start practicing and playing, because this is what you're under contract. You're not going to get what you want. And furthermore, I think the agent has an agenda because his agent knows that he can't finish a season without an injury, and that's what he's more worried about than anything else.
Well, and he also can't back down at this point, because if he backs down now, then he lost. And how's he going to get more? He's going to look stupid. So he has to dig in his heels now because they've gone too far.
Well, the whole thing is crap, if you ask me. At this point, it's ridiculous. So now Deion Branch, he's already been fined $14,000 a day during camp. Now he's going to start missing out on game checks. He's going to be in the hole this season if he waits until week 10. And look, kid, get into camp or get into the team and start playing.
What do you think about the Jets' interest, Fred? Was it real or are they just driving the price
up?
Look,
I think it's real. I think it's real, and Paul disagrees with me, but I think any offer. What?
What do I disagree with you on?
Don't talk about him.
Other than the fact that he has already played a whole season, you said he couldn't play a whole season. He just did that last
year. Yeah, they had to keep him out of preseason. Have you ever heard of that? A player not playing one game out of preseason because he's too delicate?
Edgerrin James.
You know?
And that affected him how?
He was hurt. But anyway, the thing about... Now I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, there's a shock.
you know,
because you didn't have one.
We got stuff for you here, by the way.
No, any
stuff for Tom.
Any offer that any team made, whether it's Seattle stuff. Or the Jets, was going to be better than the Patriots' offer. I mean, they're treating him like a free agent. What do they have to lose? Yeah, we'll give you a second round pick. We can sign this guy and just give away a second round pick. Fine, but he's not a free agent. He's not a free agent. He is under contract. The Patriots let him walk. Sure, they might get a second-round pick, but they don't get that till next season.
So where's the part of this that I disagree with?
What good does that do? Because you think that they were being disingenuous.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I did not. Don't put words in my mouth. You're not
about
smart.
You don't think they really wanted to trade him. That's what you said.
No, I don't think they really want to trade him. I think they want him on their team. I don't think that's not, has anything to do with being disingenuous.
I think that if they got the right offer, I don't know this to be
but
case,
I think
but
what
I
they
think
want is to have Deion Branch on their team. I don't
absolutely.
I don't go back
I agree
that.
With that. But I think if somebody came with a first and a third, they take it.
Yeah, but that's fine. I don't see where I disagreed with you. I'm just saying what they want. See, I think what they want is to have Branch come back.
Yes.
I don't think that's necessarily the same thing as saying they're being disingenuous. Well, they'll trade him
for
the right
there are people
package.
That said this whole thing blew up in the Patriots' face.
Well, I think there's a little aspect of that.
Did they make an error?
Because I don't think they thought he was going to get an offer.
What did they gain from allowing him to seek a trade?
They may have gained a first and a third and get rid of the guy. They
so
may
you
have
think
gained.
They'll trade. They want to trade him.
If they got the right offer, they would have. A second-round pick is not the right offer. I wouldn't do it for a second. Would any of you
how
do
come,
it for a
how come the teams
pick?
That how come
you
the,
would
absolutely? I don't think he's worth.
How come the teams that reportedly wanted to trade for him
that great?
How come the teams that were reportedly wanted to trade for him said the Patriots never came back with an offer? If they were willing to trade him and a team says we'll give you a two, why didn't they say no? It's going to take a first and a third.
The Patriots' position in this was not to then go into negotiation with another team. They told the agent. Go find out a trade, negotiate a trade, and we'll consider it. They're not going to go sit down with the.
See, I don't see what they gain then if they're not really trying to trade him.
It's not a matter of they had nothing to lose, Andy.
Well, it's gotten a lot uglier.
If the team's going to give them a first and a third, okay, we'll do it.
Don't you think it's gotten a lot uglier? It's now a legal battle beyond anything else.
As far as the relationship with Branch, it couldn't get any worse. So what do you have to lose?
I'm not sure it couldn't get any worse. I think it's gotten worse.
Fred, just to back mine and Paul's point, I'm sick and tired of hearing about they spread the ball around here. They spread the ball around in Philadelphia, too. You know what happened when Terrell Owens came? He got all the balls because he was always open.
Exactly.
I'm sick of hearing that Branch doesn't put up numbers because they spread the ball around. That's crap. If he was a great receiver, he'd have more than 4 touchdown catches a year. So stop with the spread the ball around, because if Reggie Wayne came here, he'd put up way bigger numbers.
And that's another thing about
open more.
And that's another thing about his agent. His agent knows that Ben Watson's coming into his own. He knows that Maroney's here. The running game's going to be better. And there's a very good chance that in his last year of this contract, he won't put necessarily up bigger numbers than he did last year. Because remember, Tom Brady had his biggest season in terms of yards that he's ever had. There's a good chance that he's not going to put those numbers up.
I disagree with that.
Branch's numbers won't be as big, and he won't have
that.
As much bargaining leverage as he
the
would.
Odds of a happy
his agent has an agenda.
Can we dispute your points
go
at
ahead.
All?
Go ahead.
In my opinion, just mine, just to dispute.
How are these grillers?
Just to dispute, yes, and we need to talk about the what are they called? What's the official name?
Gridiron
Grillers. Gridiron Grillers.
Patriots,
we need to talk about
Gridiron
that. Patriots,
Grillers.
Gridiron Grillers.
Are very good.
Could you give me one that was warm?
I just got them.
That to be ice cold?
I'm sorry, but I just got them out of the same
supposed
tin.
Supposed to be promoting them, not ripping them.
But just to dispute something that you just said, Fred, you don't think that Deion Branch would put up the same numbers as last year. I think that a happy...
I think his agent fears that.
I think a happy Deion Branch coming into the 2006 season would have very little chance not to at least duplicate his numbers from last year based on the current core of receivers that are here right now. He is going to get more balls thrown his way in 2006 than he did in 2005 when David Givens was here on the other side. There is no legitimate number two guy
to
get 50 balls.
If guys are triple-teaming
him. There's no legitimate option. Troy Brown was the only guy in 2001. He caught 101 balls.
Under your scenario, and I'm going to follow up on what Tom just said, he'll get double-teamed on every play because there's no other legitimate
and there'll be no one else to throw to, and he'll still get his catches. That's
I don't know.
I'm saying.
I think Watson, I think Maroney's going to get some more runs. I think that's another option that they didn't have last year. I think it's going to be a different kind of offense than last year. And
I think
that
Brady's going to throw for 4,100 yards? Probably not.
That's right.
But someone's going to 3,700 every year.
Right. He's still going to complete his 350 passes. They have to go somewhere.
I just don't think his numbers will be that much better.
I think they'd be light years better than they were last year because there's no one else to throw the ball to. That's just my opinion. We're never going to know because he isn't going to play for the Patriots this year.
I think the agent fears that, and I think he fears injury for his player. That's why he won't budge right now.
Shouldn't he fear injury? He's looking to cash in now on a guy he feels is underpaid.
Right. But a lot of times the agent will say, look, go out, have a good year, we'll deal with this next year.
Blow out your ACL.
You could make that argument for anybody. Though, Andy, that, well, this guy's he might get injured, so he wants a new contract now.
No, this is a specific guy who's felt he's been underpaid all along, has 1 year to go, maybe on a deal that he thought he never was going to have to serve that year, right? You know, there's been reports that it was a 4, it was a 5, they went back and forth, whatever.
Okay.
And he's looking to cash in now because of a career-threatening injury. He's never been paid elite money, anything near elite
money.
And
let me ask you a question. Let's just say for all intents and purposes, you feel that the Patriots' offer of whatever it is, no one really knows for sure, but let's say it's $4 million, $24 million, and $12 million guaranteed.
Here's where you're going to get me 100% on your side.
Okay. Let's just say that offer is not good enough, okay? And the reason it's not good enough is maybe some of the money, but more because they wouldn't use this year as the first year of that new contract, that the Patriots want to start it next year.
Right.
Okay? Is that a reason to just break down negotiation and walk away from the table? Isn't there a way to get around that? Like,
I totally agree with you.
Okay, Patriots, you won't give us this year. It doesn't start till next year. Boost the guarantee or boost the length. If you don't want to do the length, boost the per year salary. I don't know, but there's got to be a way to work around that.
If negotiations are cut off, aren't both parties to blame?
Well, the Patriots made their offer.
I know, but
why don't you blame the Patriots for not counteroffering
on both
the trade?
Because I think the Patriots have a certain precedent, something they never did. They didn't do it with Seymour, which is negate a final year of a contract. Even with Seymour, they gave him a raise in that year.
Sorry, that was the second to the final year. This was the final year of his contract.
Ooh,
they erased
Seymour's.
It.
They erased it.
They erased it?
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
as they did with Brady, which, you know, part of that eloquent explanation that you were talking in glowing terms about yesterday on EEI, most of which was incorrect information, by the way.
Okay. I still say, going back, even there, with a Seymour and a Brady, you make exceptions. Branch is not even close to that status.
I agree with
status.
That,
obviously.
You know, he's not close to that status. You know, and he just, and I'm sure
just saying, you can't criticize Branch. Now, I criticize Branch and Chayot for not negotiating. In my opinion, not negotiating
in
good faith.
That's the problem in the whole thing.
The Patriots made offers, and evidently they made no counteroffers. They just walked away. That's wrong. But I also think the Patriots were wrong in giving him the window to make a trade. They get trade proposals and they don't counteroffer them. They don't say anything. They just ignore them. I think that's
Paul,
as wrong as the agent.
And Paul, don't you think like when they said go out and seek a trade, you know there's going to be teams that are interested.
Right.
You know,
well, that's why I said I don't think they wanted
to
make a trade. Now I'm not saying anything about disingenuous or anything like that. I just don't think that they felt the offers were going to be as substantial as they were.
But it's not the
there were two different teams at minimum.
Yes,
right.
That were looking to give him a lot of money and a fair amount of compensation. And I don't think the Patriots were a little bit taken aback by that. Fred doesn't.
Now, Jason Chayot slides over a piece of paper that says the Jets are willing to give you a second. No. Okay. It's up to Jason Chayot to go back to the Jets and start that negotiation again, not the Patriots. The Patriots don't have to negotiate for a player that's under contract on their team. That's up to Jason Chayot to go back to the Jets and say they said no to the second. You got to do better.
I disagree.
That's what the that's
Germans
what,
let that's, him go. He's on a roll.
That's what the rules of this game was, Paul. Go out and seek a trade, and if we like it, we'll consider it. They didn't like it, so seek another one.
That the rules of the trade were
the rules of the game.
We'll go out and seek a trade. If we don't like it, if we like it, we'll consider it. If not, we won't. That was what they said.
That's right.
That's not what they said.
What did they say?
They said go out and make a trade for yourself. They did, and they ignored it.
They didn't ignore it. They looked at it, and they said no.
Then what do you want?
Go get another one.
They asked him to go out and make a trade. They did.
But you're saying that...
Now, what's
right
now?
And under your scenario, Paul, you're saying they don't like what the Jets are offering. Now the Patriots have to go in negotiation with
the
Jets?
The listeners
no, I'm saying tell us what
this
you would take.
They don't need to do that.
Well, all right, then. If you don't have to negotiate.
Why should
Jason Chan have told them what they would take then?
That's why you don't do negotiate. You never do that. You never play your hand because you might be undercutting yourself. You have them give you your best offer. If you don't like it, you say no. Then you have them give you another offer.
If you feel like that, you cannot blame Deion Branch and Jason Chan for not negotiating then.
They did negotiate.
You have to be consistent. Oh, yeah, that's all.
Is that an F-bomb you're about?
No, I said, just for the record, I happen to blame Deion Branch and Jason Chayot for not negotiating. I think that was poor negotiating on their part. I think they started this whole thing by handling this all in an immature fashion. However, Fred, you have to be consistent. If you don't blame one team for not negotiating, you can't blame the other side for not negotiating.
Why should the Patriots sit down with the Jets and negotiate?
Then why should Branch then? He might be underselling himself.
Branch is an employee of the Patriots. He's under contract.
We're getting to the crux of the issue now.
If Jason Chayot wants to go back to the Jets and say they turned down your second, you got anything better, that's up to Jason Chayot. And I'm sure the Patriots would look at another offer. But if he doesn't want to do that, and then that's up to him. It's not up to the Patriots to then start negotiating with two different teams for the services of a player that's already under contract. I don't get it.
Then they shouldn't have told him to go seek a trade.
What do they have to lose?
In your mind, nothing. In everybody else's mind, they look bad.
Everybody else's. Tom, in your mind?
Let me ask you a question.
By the way, those are gridiron grillers you hear on the radio.
And they're tremendous.
Let me ask you a question, how this affects the team, all right? There's been a lot of bad things that have happened so far. Injuries to key players, this Deion Branch thing. They're 10-point favorites this Sunday, the biggest spread in the league.
Is it? It was 8.5 when it opened.
No, they're the only team that's a double-digit favorite. So Vegas is expecting them to roll. They go out Sunday, they lose to the Bills. What kind of reaction is this going to have?
The same reaction, not quite as bad, but when they got rid of Lawyer Malloy, everybody would be up in arms.
Oh, but I don't think it will be internally.
Oh, not internally.
There was some uproar with Lawyer Malloy internally. I don't think you would have that. I think
I would rather
not
get into this because Fred doesn't believe that there was any turmoil in 2003. Right. Things was all made up.
Now, if they go out and lose another one to the Jets, then it might seep into internal if they're not scoring points. Whatever. You know, Brady's hitting guys in the face mask and they're bouncing off.
The Bills are supposed to be a pretty bad team. If they come in here and win that game, you know, that's people are going to get a little nervous.
Bad team. I just heard Bill told me how they could score from anywhere on the field in the kicking game, on offense, on defense.
By the way, today I thought it was particularly, you know, those Wednesday press conferences that we always like. Today I thought was particularly special because he talked about how explosive they were and how they could score from anywhere on the field. And he specifically mentioned their ways that they could score. And the first three things he said were kick returns, punt returns, and defense. Those are the first three ways he said that they could score from anywhere on the field.
Somewhere in northern New York, J.P. Lossman said, hey, we play too.
Actually, western New York.
What he didn't say spoke more loudly than what he did say. There's no doubt about it.
What didn't he say?
About the offense. He wouldn't mention it.
The offense that ran all over this team in one game.
Branch's absence is unexcused.
So you're predicting a Bills win?
Hell no. I think the spread is too low.
Well, I know. I was surprised that it opened up at 8.5.
I think they blow them the bleep out.
Well, you know, I don't know how they're going to do that without their best receiver.
Because they're going to be fueled on Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Get them now at Gillette Stadium and local supermarkets
everywhere. Last time I looked, you know, Bills had a pretty good secondary.
When was the last time you looked?
They still have a pretty good secondary.
Yeah.
Can you name three guys in it?
They got the kid from Miami, Coy Wire, a couple other guys.
Coy Wire's a special teams player and didn't play at Miami, but
no, they got Madison, right?
Oh, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
Sam Madison.
Yeah,
Buffalo Bills.
Oh no, who's the other one?
Plays for the Giants.
Nate Clemens.
Sam Madison plays for the Giants, by the way.
They have Vincent, right?
Vincent is a safe.
Vincent.
Troy Vincent.
From the Eagles.
He played for Miami too, about 100 years ago. Yeah. But
when they had that amazing defense.
So you just went over, you know.
Sam Madison, they had Troy Vincent, Sam Madison.
Now he's going back to 1995 Miami Dolphins. Terrell Buckley.
We're talking about the 2006 Buffalo Bills.
They have a pretty good defense.
Dante Whitney.
And now that Tequila Spikes is back.
They had a pretty good defense last year that ranked 31st in the league. But why we want to
get lost a little passion now.
We want to get into the matchup of the game.
You wouldn't have defense either if your offense was 3 and out on every play.
Well,
it's
tough. Don't call it what it isn't. It's not a very good defense. They have a couple of individual players like Nate Clements and Tequio Spikes.
Schoble.
But it's not a
And to be fair, that's, you know, a new coordinator, a new scheme. Maybe they'll be better.
Last year was
the
first year, when you look at the whole season, that they weren't considered one of the better defenses in a while.
I know Schoble kills this team every time he
plays.
I disagree with that, but that's okay.
Because Matt Light is, questionable.
All right. What else have we got? Today was media day. We had
Gridiron Grillers that were tremendous. We were told to talk about them. I'm trying to talk about them.
Pat's Brats and
now is this available in stores now?
In stores now. We have some samples. Something Franks, not
touchdown.
First down Franks.
Gridiron Grillers, which are the sausages,
and Pat's Brats.
Sack Attack sausages,
and Pat's Brats. Doesn't
kind of like Beisel the Diesel.
Attack your sack.
What?
I don't know.
Jeez.
So the Patriots organization hasn't heard about the weight problem in this country?
They have, and they want to jump on the bandwagon and make some money off it.
Don't they have any Casale chicken or something?
Don't joke about that, because they actually did get some criticism.
Oh, really?
From protesters, yes.
Well, there's obviously, we didn't have a sack.
Well, now we have the Vrabel veggie burger.
They wanted the pita. Yeah, the pita people were worked up.
All right, so we had Belichick talking today. Brady talked today. You guys were in the locker room. What's going on? I was out of the office this morning. Just got here in time. What are people saying? Who was available in the locker room? Was Brady talking about Branch at all?
I didn't hear
Fill
Brady.
In our listeners.
Did anybody hear Brady? Because I didn't.
I heard some of it. I didn't hear him mention Branch in the part I heard, but that was probably the first question asked.
And I was waiting for Archrell Hawkins, who told me he'd be there and never really showed up until 1 minute before the end of locker room.
Okay.
Porked again.
Anything else?
Other than that, there were a lot of players available. Talked to Tully Bantakane a little bit. And it was funny because he was asked several times about the differences between, you know, preparing for a game as a starter as opposed to, you know, in the past. And he answered them. And then, you know, he probably got four questions, you know, kind of touching around that subject. And then finally he said, you know, look, guys, I don't even know if I'm starting. I'm not going to find that out until Saturday. And I talked to him afterwards, and I said, you know, you realize that if you say definitively that you're starting, people are going to interpret from that that Brewski's not playing. And he goes, I know, and that's why I wanted to tell everybody.
And his season will be over before it started.
Right, because you can imagine that would get him in some trouble. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye on that. Brewski was not in the locker room today. But Bantakane, you know, sounds, you know, a lot of the same stuff that we've been talking about with him. I think he feels this is a very big season for him, and he's made some really positive strides in the preseason. He's looking forward to taking that into
Once
the regular season.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Tully Bantakane.
I haven't seen it.
Despite the fact that Andy Hart is not sold.
No, he's not.
Who else spoke today?
Not Lakeven Smith.
Well, interesting, and I was talking about this with a couple of media guys. Fred, you're very big in the read between the line, hidden meanings kind of nonsense. The rookies that weren't talking today, which would include guys like Lakeven Smith, Lawrence Maroney, Chad Jackson.
Yeah, at least those guys are hurt.
The feeling is that those guys aren't playing. And the rookies, if they are talking, that means they're playing. Ryan O'Callaghan has talked this week.
I don't think Lakeven Smith.
Do you think anything else?
Well,
like that?
It could be that. It also could be that the ones that aren't talking are simply going to be listed as questionable.
Well, Lakeven Smith seems like he might be in the doghouse because he said, I can't talk, not after. And he stopped mid-sentence. And I said, are you in the doghouse? And he said, well, and he stammered a little bit and said, no, I'm just, you know, with things, I'm not going to, nothing personal. And just kind of stammered and I walked away.
So you don't take anything out of that then?
No, I do.
Okay.
I mean, if there were some rookies talking and some that weren't,
yeah, I just
I think there is something to it.
Did the founder of Wendy's speak?
No, he's another one that didn't talk.
And he's been wearing a red non-contact jersey?
Yes.
Interesting.
And, Paul, I should mention that when I ran upstairs, I saw a thing. I know we talked about Doug Gabriel. It was a player that I really like. And we were trying to figure out how they got him for what we feel is a low price.
Yeah,
and
we should probably talk about that a little bit more.
And the report did say, what you brought up, that maybe when they tried to give him more, you know, more things to do, that he couldn't handle it.
So I was just pulling that one out of my butt.
But they said not only did he not handle that well, that he's all about himself and not about
the team. That'll fit in well here.
He'll fit in very well.
That's why they got rid of him.
Where was that report?
I don't know where it was. I saw it real quick as I was getting ready to come down, but... I think it was on SI.com.
Okay.
And it was just
That's interesting, because that was the one thought that I had yesterday.
They said he dropped more balls than he caught.
Maybe, you know, he was one of those guys, you could put him out there, Fred, on third down and say, you know, go run this route or go run that route, you know, maybe a higher level version of Bethel Johnson.
Right.
You know, he can make some plays for you, but when they asked him to do everything, he really wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm wondering, maybe that's how we got him for a fifth. Because it seems like a fifth-round pick for this guy is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, when I saw it on the bottom line, I sent him an email, pretty much had him in the Patriots Hall of Fame already.
No, Tom, you were all over that. You know, and you just got to wonder what was going on, because a guy that is even that borderline good, why would you get rid of him?
And not only that, he's predicted to start Monday night. Opposite Randy Moss, and all of a sudden you're trading him for a second day pick. It's something's not the puzzle's not fitting right there.
But the only thing I would say is it's the Raiders.
But all the Raiders ask you to do is run up and down the field. I mean, it's
but they also make questionable decisions sometimes that just
I got a feeling.
People.
You know how you watch a mob movie and those bosses are always in the back of some like deli talking about like who they're going to knock off. I got a feeling the NFL owners are doing that about Al Davis. It's about time. Let's get rid of this guy.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com.
Did you go over the news?
No.
Just that Jonathan Smith is here, Doug Gabriel's here.
Yeah,
they are, you know, in a crash course. They're sleeping on cots. They're doing a decent job trying to work. Jonathan O'Sullivan.
J.C. O'Sullivan.
No chance.
These guys don't like it.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
He's got long hair like A.J. Hawk.
Do you agree that most quarterbacks in the league, generally clean-cut, good-looking guys.
Yeah, they are.
Getting a little gay.
I just think it's funny.
I just think he has no chance.
I just think it's funny.
Is he a long hair?
Like, I can understand.
A.J. Hawk, absolutely. He could be a middle linebacker, J.T. or something.
Yeah, but I just think it's funny that, like, you're not basing it on, like, what he's
well,
done.
Well, he's also never thrown a pass in the league.
You two saw him walk through the locker room and said, this guy's got no shot.
I am also using the fact that he's been in the league for 4 years and has never thrown a pass, too. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun,
Well, I mean, he's
Tom.
Just on the practice squad, so it's not like they're
If you're growing your hair long as a quarterback, you're probably thinking about too many things other than football. Now, if you're a middle linebacker, it's just because you're lazy and you don't want to cut it.
Well, and to be honest, at Ohio State, they did it for Tillman.
Right.
It wasn't like they were just, now it's kind of caught on around the country.
Well, you know, Kyle Turley and those guys, they're just nuts.
Did you know that?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it was in PFW, wasn't it?
Yeah. At some point last year, I think.
Nice job reading.
I read every word. I correct a lot of words that you write.
Hey, go bleep yourself.
That's nice.
Couldn't you go the other way, though, that he's so busy learning the offense and studying his game that he doesn't get a haircut?
Not quarterbacks. They care about their
appearance. Those Cal Davis guys. He's too busy surfing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I assume, that he's a surfer.
He's a surfer,
just
dude.
Kind of a flippin'.
Him and Junior Seau can go out at
reminds me of our intern.
Cape Cod and hang 10.
No chance.
What else? What other news do we have? So we have those personal pickups. I mean, obviously, you know, the Patriots can talk, you know, and by the way, they haven't said this publicly, but even if they're thinking they can get along with Deion Branch, well, their actions of last week, you know, contradict that, because you don't go out and pick up two receivers the week before the season if you're all set at the receiver position. So they're obviously, and you know, we have to bring in Bam Childress.
I was
going to
ask you, what was your? I wasn't here Monday. What was your reaction when they cut Bam Childress?
If they hadn't picked up these two guys, I would have been shocked. But the fact that they had this guy and then they picked up
and for him to make it
Sullivan afterwards
is amazing. A guy of his talent, his pedigree.
Pedigree? What pedigree is that?
I don't know. You're a guy who loves him.
Did I ever mention the word pedigree?
Why were you so in love with him? You almost cried when John Stone was cut.
I think he did pretty good, he missed a lot of training camp. When he came out, he caught right on. You know,
there's got to be a reason they took that chance.
Threw the ball in the middle of the field. He caught it, dropped it, gained another 6 yards.
I think the guy's an athlete. I think he's a good football player. I think from the Patriots' perspective, if they can get a little bit more experience in there in the way of Gabriel, and we can get this guy in the practice squad, he could be a player next year. So let's try to hold on to him.
I think there's a chance that he's probably on the roster this season because of necessity.
Right.
But I don't think that he is an NFL-caliber receiver. I've said
ever?
That.
Ever? No, or right now?
Ever.
Oh, come on.
I think he's a poor man's Deion Branch. He's small.
He's as big as Troy Brown.
No, he's not.
He's tiny, Fred.
He's little.
He's not half of Troy Brown.
Really? I thought he was thicker.
He's tiny.
He might not be as tall.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly opposite.
Troy Brown,
for his frame, is
He's stacked. Good size. Troy Brown is stacked for a small guy. He's
right.
got
no, I'm,
big shoulders, big arms, yeah. and very well put together. Now, oh. this is really
sounds like
we
have some interest there.
Well, he's talking about good-looking quarterbacks and put-together wide receivers. And speaking of wide receivers.
All right. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get to your emails.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band. Traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now, they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents... The Rolling Stones. Bigger Band. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. With special guest, Kanye West. Don't miss this rare chance to catch the North American finale of their best show ever. The Rolling Stones. A Bigger Band. September 20th, Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones. Also appearing special guest, Kanye West. Get reserves and tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 617-931-2000. Student discounts available. After the Rolling Stones, everything else is just a concert.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
The New England Revolution.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady watches a 60-yard
touchdown! Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographs are limited to the first 500 qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band, traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now, they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents The Rolling Stones, A Bigger Band. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones, with special guest Kanye West. Don't miss this rare chance to catch the North American finale of their best show ever. The Rolling Stones, A Bigger Band. September 20th, Gillette Stadium. The Rolling Stones, also appearing special guest Kanye West. Get reserves and tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or by phone at 617-931-2000.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twoman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
All right, we're back here at PFW in Progress, and I guess we had some audio problems in the first segment. And
well, I hope they got to hear how fired up you were for the first segment.
Well,
that was the best I've ever heard
of
you.
You can also download the archive or listen to it. But you want to know the reason why we had audio problems?
Well, I'm aware, but why don't you tell the listeners?
You're supposed to play along, Paul.
Why, Fred?
Is it like that new movie, Snakes on a Plane?
Well, it kind of. It was Snakes in a Studio. We literally had a snake in Gary's studio yesterday. So they had some people from the stadium ops down here trying to capture the snake. And they were throwing things. What were they throwing at the snake?
Glue traps.
Glue traps.
They finally
at
caught
the
it.
Snake. And they knocked the power out of the microphone. These mics are powered by electricity. They're not battery op or whatever. So
by water.
So while they were working only by the current that comes through and not from the full electricity. So
just so you know,
Gary,
if I see a snake, I'm out.
Yeah,
it's been a little cloudy.
I'm out.
So
I'm
going to
poison a snake.
I don't care.
I don't
I'm
like
leaving,
snakes. I don't care how small they are. I don't like them.
First of all, how do you know? I mean, I know it wasn't, but how do you just say it wasn't a poison?
Because
snake.
He told me yesterday it was like a garter snake.
That's what Steve Irwin thought.
I was piling up wood a while ago, and
crikey,
you know those coral snakes?
Yeah.
They're very poisonous.
Yes.
Well, milk snakes can look exactly like a coral snake. I lifted up this log, man, and there was a milk snake underneath there. I know that wasn't poison, but still, you got to take a double take when you see
that. I'd move.
I would have run like a screaming little.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, come on.
I hate snakes.
You know what? I got to give it to that crocodile hunter. He lasted a lot longer than I thought he would. I thought he was gone like 10 years ago.
The fact that those stingrays, what was the statistics they had on those? There's been like 17 confirmed killings
in history. Right.
It only killed him because it was right in the heart.
Right in the heart.
Docile,
they said anywhere else
yeah.
that would
have usually,
been
you know.
That's amazing.
This one must have been a bad day or something.
That's just Tom Casale luck right there.
I was just going to say, this guy's sleeping and wrestling with alligators the size of the studio, and he gets killed by a stingray.
But did
amazing.
You hear his quote? I guess he said, I guess he said in the past, if I ever get in trouble and end up getting killed or hurt, it'll be in the ocean because I'm out of my element. My element is with the gators and in
sense.
That environment.
Oh, really?
And he said the ocean, he's never felt comfortable.
I've got some good ocean stories if you want to hear them.
We could get to the emails.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the Virgin Islands?
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is email.
They were the Virgin Islands before he got there.
No, who is that? Is that
know,
Rodney
you.
Dangerfield?
I don't know. It was you. You kind of like
was
Rodney
you
Dangerfield.
About making $5 the hard way.
Yeah. Is that Rodney Dangerfield that you do? So it's me doing you doing Rodney.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let's get to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Programming reminder, next week we start our weekly schedule. Word. Monday is Patriots Monday. That starts at 8 in the morning, goes all day. And then Tuesday we start with our every day from 12 to 2, and John Rook from 2 to 4, and then Gary from 4 to 6. But the little curveball that we're throwing at you this year is that on Fridays – from 4 to 7, we got a new show called Patriots Friday, which is actually a simulcast of ESPN Boston Radio. They're going to broadcast from here.
That 800 number, I forgot it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
that's Mike Felger's show, but we're going to have that live on Patriots.com Radio from 4 to 7 on Friday. So
Fred, you know
it
who
keeps
else
getting
is going to be
better.
Part of that show?
Paul Perillo.
No. Ron Borges.
No.
Oh, yes, Borges.
Oh, Andy Hart. Is
well, I don't know if that's confirmed.
Oh, you are?
I haven't heard anything since the first
Borges
mention
on
of
that
it.
Show, too?
Yeah, Borges. Yeah.
See, I don't understand why you'd have two anti-Patriots on the same show.
Andy Hart.
That's what I'm saying. Andy and Ron Borges.
I just think, call it Mike.
Ball. I just had a long argument.
Used to be on the payroll. I don't know what
had a long argument with him because he predicted 10-6 for their record today, and I think he's ridiculously wrong. And he thinks they're going to lose Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve to close out the season to go 10-6.
Well, you don't think they're going to be 10-6 at least?
I think they're going to be 12-4.
Okay.
I think if
he's
they go 10-6, it's a colossal failure.
It was 8-8 about 2 weeks ago.
No, it wasn't. Look in the paper.
He's got
read
the Colts.
Have you looked at the
read
schedule?
The paper. He's got
they
the Colts
don't have anybody on the schedule other than like four teams that are competitive.
I still think the schedule thing is stupid.
I know that.
Every year we say, oh, it's harder.
I guarantee they do not lose to Jacksonville and Tennessee back-to-back to close out the year.
That's the universal thing. It's stupid to do that. I don't think it's stupid. I think you could do it and be within two games on every
team. Because you predicted the playoff teams every year in the division
winners. Well, then you should go to Vegas.
That's not the same thing. I'm talking about predicting what team you're going to win and lose against for the Patriots. I think you could be within two games. Now, you could put them in the playoffs, and you're off on those two games, and they're out of the playoffs. It's harder to pick who's going to, all 12 teams that are going to make the playoffs than going 14-16 on predicting a schedule. It's two different things.
The Swami over here.
I know.
Speaking of the Swami.
All right, let's get to some emails. Sorry, we promised we would.
I just think it's the no fun way of looking at football. Oh, you can't do that. No one knows.
Fred, you know my comment.
This is Chris Berman, the Swami.
If anybody knew, they would bet it. If anybody knew for sure, I mean, right. No one knows.
Felger started yelling at me for my commentary.
Yeah.
This is stupid. That's going
not
game
directed
by game.
At you, Tom. That was like Felger.
I said, did you even read it? It's a joke.
He was like all offended
did
it.
Sorry, I'm just saying it's stupid.
No, the only point is that by the time we play the Lions, they might be a good football
team,
and it may be like a big game.
You don't know.
Or, I mean, they might suck.
Or they've packed it in on Rod the Marine Marinelli.
Hey, the Dolphins looking at Charles Rogers?
Who cares?
By any chance, I heard they might be interested in him.
I saw a report about that. Then there was some confusion whether Drew Rosenhaus was his agent or not his agent. It's
no,
really
he was
posting.
Just saying on his show that the Dolphins might have interest, not that he's his agent.
Side thing, have you seen the new Burger King commercial with Drew Rosenhaus?
Yeah.
Next question. With the Burger King guy behind him?
Yeah, it's been around
Owens?
For like 2 weeks now.
That's
Andy.
Tremendous.
I didn't really think it was funny.
I've never seen it, and I probably never will.
So go screw yourself.
Because I don't watch commercials.
They took something that happened like a year ago, and it's like Jay Leno still doing like Bill Clinton jokes, like, not funny.
Oh, I disagree. I thought it was very funny.
But what I will...
They're going to fight over whether it was funny
I thought it was
not,
even funnier than Burger King man picking off Drew.
Well, that wasn't funny at all.
That abomination of a team known as the Packers, and Andy Hart knows, he told me yesterday...
They're done.
That Mike we were talking about Rod Marinelli, like the Marine Sergeant, the way he's running his team. Well, Mike McCarthy is taking the exact opposite approach. He's telling people to leave at noon on Friday.
He's having early practice so that the assistants can be out of the office by noon.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Something tells me that strategy just isn't going to work.
This is kind of like the year the Celtics had ML Carr as the coach. They basically just said, you know what, you be the...
You think McCarthy's out after a year?
I don't think he's going to last.
You might
that
think.
Long.
What's my thing again? The cleansing. They got to
yeah,
clean the whole system out. Bring
exactly.
them in
because
bring
the Celtics weren't
coach.
Able to do
you
that.
You know, Favre is on his way out, and they don't want to bring a coach in for the transition, right. So they bring in this guy.
McCarthy takes the bullet for everything.
Exactly.
And
okay, Tom from Northboro says, "I like all your other letter writers. I enjoy the show. My question is about the narrow bands worn by athletes on many sports, just above the elbow. You know, I was looking at that too."
It's
a lot of the guys
oh my
God!
It's broken.
What are those? The knee ones are real. The knee ones hold the patella in place for people that have patella problems.
Oh, okay.
The arm ones are absolutely nothing except to look cool.
Okay, so he says they are above the elbow, so they don't protect from abrasions, and it seems like an unlikely place for a sweatband. Do these items have a functional purpose, or are they just a fashion statement?
They started out as sweatbands. Guys started just pulling them up onto their elbow, and now Nike and Under Armour. They make thinner ones that are designed.
What
to,
do they do? What
just to look cool.
But you know,
but
the
are
thing
they
is,
made out of the same material as the ones on the knee, or are you talking about?
No,
like
no, no. The ones on the knee are like
they're almost like a
medical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a tourniquet kind of thing.
Yeah, it's there for a reason to hold it in place or whatever it does. These are purely. Some of them are made out of the sweatband material. Others are a little thinner,
right.
But it's all just for looks.
So Jordan had a knee problem then?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, you know, the thing is, what makes me laugh when these guys wear these things is that they look okay when a guy has, like, decent biceps.
They also do that a little.
These skinny receivers that have nothing, and they're wearing these things, and it just shows that you have a stick arm.
For guys that, if you get a tight one, it does make your arm look bigger. So, again, that makes you look cooler and you're
right.
Flying
so it's just fashion.
Remember in the Warrior? Ultimate Warrior used to tie it down real tight.
Right,
so his arm
right,
was big.
Right, right. Another gripe of mine is all the special markings on uniforms that are never explained on the team's webs page. Some of these are tributes for people that have died or pats on the back you see on college football players' helmets. Would be nice to be able to understand how they were honoring or what they did to get that collection of Buckeyes on their helmet.
Well, in terms of the pros, you don't see a lot of markings on uniforms because it's not allowed.
Right.
And you're never going to hear it in college because it could be anything. It could
and it is anything.
More time in the weight room.
Right. It's usually a list of like 1,000 things you could do.
Touchdowns, touchdown passes.
It could be
blocks,
a key block, a
tackles,
key anything.
You know, a heads up special teams play, downing the ball inside the five.
If you gave a list of everything Vince Young did last year,
right.
If they put markings on their helmets, it'd take you forever.
Here's where I could toot my own horn, but I won't.
All right. Next email comes from Nick.
Got so many of those in high school. There was some freshman kid I used to give him some so his helmet would have some on him.
Nick from San Diego. And
I'm glad he chose the modesty approach.
Talks about me.
Just in case anyone wants to know, Andy played for the Perkins School for the Blind. Nick is from San Diego, and he says, you had your first non-sports celebrity on the show last week. Mr. Liff has quite the following. He's pretty good, too. His father was actually my high school soccer coach.
That was the guy that was the music guy, right?
Anyways, back to real football. You guys were ranting about the offense a lot last week, and I don't think that it's as big of a deal as everyone is making it out to be. There's no way that this offense is worse than the one in 2001. The receivers were so good in 01 that Mark Pig Edwards had the fourth most catches as a slow-moving fullback. I even think that the offense is better than last year, although I'm assuming Branch has at least half of his production last season. With a solid and healthy backfield, hopefully that didn't just jinx us, and the best trio of tight ends, I think it more than makes up for anything Givens, Davis, and Dwight can bring to the table. The offense will be fine. Tom finds people to throw to. He was missing the talent all over the place last year, and he had his best year yet. I do have a football 101 question. Can you explain the different wide receiver positions? Flanker, split end, is there a real difference? Did you guys do your research on flanker and split end?
We haven't, but we can put it in the paper.
Can I get back to the original point of the email?
You can get 2 weeks out of that flanker
and split end.
I don't think that we were necessarily ranting about how bad we thought the offense was going to be last week. I think that the thing that we were talking about was Fred was explaining how many different options they had and how difficult they were going to be to defend, and I was simply saying that I didn't think their talent was as good as it was last year, so I don't necessarily think that makes them more difficult to defend. Now, we agreed to disagree on that, but in taking that, I don't think I ever said that they were going to have a worse offense than they did in 2001. By no means do I think that's the case. Brady is so much better of a quarterback now than he was then. Just by that mere fact alone, you're better. But at the same time, if the Patriots' offense is comparable at all to 2001, forget about Super Bowl. Because you're not going to do that again. You're not going to lead the league in points allowed. You're not going to lead the league in turnovers forced. You're not going to lead the league in special teams touchdowns. You're not going to lead the league in 16 other categories that you happen to. It was like a perfect storm. It all converged. It was a perfect situation. They had more defensive touchdowns and more special teams touchdowns than anybody in football in 2001. That's why they made the playoffs. So then they ended up getting those things in the playoffs to win. It was unbelievable.
Once again, Dark Cloud Perillo. Okay, let's get to the next
email. Dark Cloud. I said that no way do I think this offense is comparable to that one. I think it's far superior.
Well, that's what the email's saying.
That's what you're saying. That's why. You confuse the readers, Fred. With your double talk and jitter jab.
Let's just look at wide receivers. Compared to
The other thing I disagree with that he said was, you know, but despite losing all his weapons last year, Brady had his best year ever. What weapons did he lose last year? The offense stayed healthy. The offensive line was banged up, but the weapons weren't.
Yeah, but, I mean, other than Falk,
Falk missed time, I'll give you that. But, you know, Watson and Graham played for the most part. They missed some games, but they played.
The running game stunk.
Graham missed a bunch.
Yeah, but they were out there. I mean, let's face it. Watson was out there.
They never
seemed
to be able to be out together.
Branch played all 16 games. I think Givens missed two
games.
Yeah. Troy Brown was relatively healthy. I mean, and Dylan, you know, missed a game or two here or there. He just was ineffective. Wasn't because
he lost all his
weapons.
I wouldn't go just by. I mean, now we're doing the Peyton Manning thing where we're going just by numbers.
I think the line is better. The offensive line is better.
I think this is the better offense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Brady could throw for 3,400 yards this year and have a better season than he did last year.
Exactly, Tom.
Yeah,
but know it when you see it.
But it's not a better offense than it was last year.
Stats lie. They can lie.
So does Fred.
The fantasy football world, Fred.
Right. Okay, James from Bagram, Afghanistan.
Nice.
Now, I didn't even know they had the internet in Afghanistan. I guess they do.
Well, if you're in the military, they do. They have.
Okay.
Well, I
didn't know he was.
Well, I'm just assuming that he might be and that he
could have a military tent. He goes and he listens to us, checks his email.
All right. And he says, anyway, he says, first of all, let me say thanks for doing the show. The information you provide is meaningful and just about the only way for those of us outside the local Boston media area are able to get in-depth information about the Pats. Well, I'd say he's outside Boston, that's for sure. I download PFW in Progress onto my MP3 or laptop and listen in my spare time. However, you must remember that you are on radio and not at the local pub. You often, we're going to get scolded here, guys, you often talk over each other and continue to talk while jumping in with sound bites, Gary. Needless to say, when this happens, listeners hear nothing. First rule in radio, only one person talks at a time. I'm enjoying your listening to your analysis of players and game performances, especially when I am unable to view the games, but I can do without an 8 to 10 minute tangent on Chris Berman and John Madden. I don't care whether or not you care for certain TV commentators. I also don't care that you were not fed at the gala. Please keep talking about football in the past, but leave that other crap out.
All right, I'm all for it.
How about those gridiron grillers?
What's his name?
James Newton.
I don't care what James thinks either.
No.
How's that sound?
He's just mad because he's in Afghanistan. He's eating all that crap out there, and we get to have gridiron grillers.
Now, you know my feeling. We've talked about that enough. We talk about a lot of stuff here.
Thanks for listening, James.
Talk about the Patriots for an hour and 50 minutes. Give us 10
by
minutes
way,
to
Paul,
rant about other stuff.
And I don't mean to talk over you, but don't I remember hearing that WEEI is the number one sports radio station in the country? Those guys never talk over each other. Right. I mean, the first rule of radio. Is this guy a radio
first
major?
First rule of radio is raise your
not,
hand.
Shut up. I don't care what you think. Have fun in Afghanistan.
I told you he would like that one.
Probably got sand in his shorts.
Just kidding, James. Keep listening.
Well, one of Paul's pet peeves is being scolded by the emailers. He doesn't like that.
No, I don't mind being scolded when it's.
The only time we're scolded is when they don't like what we're talking about.
Right? Well, I don't like when they say that, you know, you talked about something different for 5 minutes. I don't like that.
And we'll take the good, we'll take
the
bad.
Chris Berman and John Madden, that's about the NFL.
ESPN.
There's
we yell, P-Man!
I mean, all these people that love John Madden, they're doing the game, and they still don't always talk about football. So, John in L.A. writes in, this isn't going to happen, since Belichick will likely want to rid the team of a distraction and move forward. But, given that the best official offer for Deion Branch is a second rounder in the 2007 draft, why shouldn't the Patriots just let him sit for the first 10 games? In either scenario, he's not on the field for the Patriots, and it's not like we won't be able to get a second rounder for him during the offseason. We won't be able to. It's a real crappy wide receiver free agent group, and there is no difference between getting a second round pick in 07 now and getting a second round pick in the 07 draft next March. Actually, it's preferable to wait, he says. That way the Patriots have a better sense of draft position, there are more teams vying for his services, and maybe it provides time for cooler heads to prevail and for Deion to reconsider. In any case, given the compensation being offered for Branch as of now, and given the fact that that's not likely to be any better than it will be 7 months from now, the only reason we might prefer doing the deal for 2006 is to rid ourselves of the headache distraction. Otherwise, if he's so dug in, he can stay dug in and sit.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think it is at all egotistical that they would trade him to the Jets? Now, I know most people don't think the Jets are going to be good. But if you look at them on defense, they got some players on defense. The linebackers, the front seven's pretty stout. So if they can get some offensive production with Pennington staying healthy, you throw in a Deion Branch, you never know what's going to happen. Usually you don't trade with division.
I know. I agree with you.
What do you guys think
about
that?
I don't think, well.
Unless it's Bledsoe.
I think Belichick is very confident that he can stop, regardless of the player. I was waiting for the cheap shot, and there it is. But regardless of the player, I think he's very confident that he can, you know, especially offensive players. Because he can defend them.
Right.
But. And I agree with you. I don't think that he would make the move if he thought the Jets weren't necessarily a viable contender, as opposed to if he thought they were,
right.
You know, very good. I don't
he
think
wouldn't
that,
trade him to
Miami. I don't think that would affect his. I don't think it would affect him. I think if he thought it was the best trade in the best interest of his team, based on, in other words, what he's getting back in return. If the Jets are, you know, if it was Miami, and right now let's say that Bill thinks Miami right now is 100% a viable candidate to knock them off. If Miami, he thought, was giving him the best package, and that was the best interest of his football team, I think he would make the trade. I don't think he would be discouraged by having the team in his division. Now, all things being equal, I think you'd rather have him in the other conference. You know, if Seattle offers the same thing as the Jets, I think you'd rather trade him to Seattle.
Right.
But that's just, you know, Bill's never said that, but that's just my opinion.
I think that was a pretty good email, though.
I thought it was very good.
If you're going to trade him, the draft pick you get can't make you better for this year right now.
Right.
So you don't really gain anything by making the trade now except making another team potentially better. And, you know, even if it's Seattle, well, there's at least an outside chance the Patriots go to the Super Bowl and you have to beat them.
Yes.
So,
or what if, like you were saying, another team, what if they lose the division by one game and they lose to the Jets?
Right.
And Branch has a bit, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it could make another team better and cost you down the road.
And you could potentially get a better trade in the offseason as teams figure out what they're doing and move forward. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
I say let him sit for 10 weeks, make him inactive for 6, see you later.
Right, the only negative is if it kind of hangs over your team and it's an issue and
now,
Brady or I don't know.
Can you make him inactive or you can't now?
Oh, you can
make
him
inactive.
You can't
send him home.
You can't send him home.
Don't talk to us. Go away.
Right.
But, yeah, you just don't dress him for games and then there's a chance he has a hamstring injury and doesn't
show up. And just out of clarification, because we've gotten so many emails and questions about it, even if you could, Andy's absolutely right, they changed this in the CBA because of Keyshawn Johnson and Terrell Owens. So there's been some changes to the way the teams can deal with these situations. But even if you could just tell the guy, you know what, you're not welcome here, go home, he still would get an accrued season.
Right.
If he's willing to come back,
right,
then that means he's no longer on the did not report list or, you know, left camp or whatever. I think it's did not report is the official list that Deion's on right now since training camp ended. So if he comes back and he agrees to come back, that's his accrued season as long as he agrees to do that for 6 weeks.
Right.
So even if the Patriots were to say, you're not welcome here, you're a distraction, go home, he still gets, like a lot of our emailers keep asking that same question, we keep answering it. There's nothing the Patriots can do. They don't have to play him, but they can't keep him from getting an accrued season.
Right.
Correct.
And we keep getting emails, too, as well, saying this is going to hurt his value. Joey Galway got hurt playing flag football with his brother with the year he did this crap and basically said, I don't care what the team thinks. It was the championship game, and I had to be there. That was his answer to that. And he sat out, and you know what the Seahawks got for him? 2 first-round draft picks. So anybody who thinks Deion Branch is going to lose, like, money next year, listen, when guys are on the market, like, Paul just said about Belichick, people are going to do the best thing for their football team. He's going to get paid regardless. So really, the only thing this is really going to hurt is the Patriots if this becomes a cancer, because Deion Branch is going to get paid someday no matter what.
He's a selfish player.
Aren't they all?
I think you might be right about that, Fred.
Yeah. And he didn't come off that way. You know, it's maybe he's one of those guys who acts one way, you know, like in, because he seemed like the biggest goal.
But
you
see,
know,
I don't know that he's being overly selfish.
I think he's being a little selfish.
At this point,
he wants to get paid.
That's why I think he's being selfish, is because he wants to do it different than everybody else. And I don't think it's, you know, I can understand the team side. And look, you know, you guys know me. I've been on this, you know, at Fred's throat on this show many times defending players because I think the system is so unfair.
Yes.
But it's not the Patriots or any other team's fault that the system is unfair.
Right.
I hate the term he needs to honor the contract because the team doesn't need to honor the contract. And I think that's blatantly unfair. But, however, you can't blame the teams for adhering to the rules.
Right. But that doesn't mean he has to accept it. He's doing his best to try to work around it.
And hold out and try to work around it.
And they're clearly trying to work within the system.
Right.
All these loopholes and legalities and grievances.
And I don't call you selfish for that. I call you selfish for taking it to this extent. And you know, the grievances. Look, you tried to get what you want. You tried to make your point. You didn't necessarily really negotiate in good faith because the Patriots made some offers to you. And some of the reports, you said that Pat Kerwin piece yesterday, 5 years, $33 million?
Yeah, I mean, nobody
knows
here.
Sure.
Oh, no one knows how it's structured or whatever, but,
right.
I mean, that's ridiculous if you turn that down.
I can't see him turning that down. I really
can't. So I think there is a little aspect here. It's getting to the point. He just doesn't want to be here anymore.
Right.
And he's being selfish.
But like you said yesterday, if that indeed was a contract offer, maybe it's gotten to the point that he just doesn't want to play here anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't see another option here.
Let's see. John in Toronto, I have some questions that hopefully you can address. One, I would like to know how you feel about the Doug Gabriel trade. He is a big target, which we don't have in New England, and his numbers are okay for only being in the NFL for 2 years. I can't put together why
this
Oakland
fourth
traded
year, by the way.
What do you think? What, we well, talked about this earlier.
Yeah, I wrote a thing for a fantasy magazine, and I predicted that he would catch 70 balls if he started for the Raiders. Now, obviously, that is a much different situation. Their defense stinks. They're going to throw the ball, you know, all the time.
And he
Randy
knew that
Moss
offense.
Is on the other
he
side.
He knew the offense.
He knew that offense. Now he's coming into a
right.
totally new offense.
He's got
a one week
offense.
Before
it's
the
different.
Game.
I would say he's going to be a big play type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul compared him to Andre Davis. I think he'll be a little bit more than that.
It's actually Andy.
Or Andy. But I think that's what he can provide you. Big plays down the field. He's a big target. This report that he dropped more balls than he caught is discouraging. But I've always kind of liked him, so we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Fred, can I ask you a question, being
yeah.
a bigwig that you are?
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can answer this specifically or in your general knowledge. Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli, are they still involved right now in the Dion Branch thing? Or is it at a legal level where it's just lawyers? And,
yeah, I think now, I mean, they're not negotiating anymore. It's
right.
Now it's probably Jack Mueller.
So it's out of their hands. They'll get some sort of decision Saturday or next week and
right.
then proceed
right.
from there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. John in Toronto, this is the second part of his email. I know that Jerome Paython is getting up there in years, but I can't stop
Ugh.
Thinking that he could be a good number three or four
no interest.
Here in
no.
New England.
No.
Number three.
Can
maybe
we address something before you go on to number
yeah,
three? Something that Tom and Andy and I have been talking about a lot the last couple of days. It seems that every single name that hits the waiver wire right now, Patriots fans want to immediately scoop up. And Andy,
they recognize it.
But Andy brought up the point. Have we gotten to the situation now where we're so unhappy with our own roster that even the other team's scrap heap guys
right.
are better than what we have? Because that's what I'm. Fred, you've read the SPFWs.
I know. Yeah.
You read a lot of the emails that come in this show. Every single name that's even remotely recognizable that gets released, people want to sign.
I'll give you a couple others. Darius Watson,
well,
Charles Rogers.
Well, let's address Jerome Paython for a second, because Paul, I want to back Paul's point. He has done absolutely nothing for 5 years. Nothing. The guy has done nothing. He's gone from team to team. He was a guy who had one pretty decent season in New Orleans. He's just a waste of space. He's a nobody. Darius Watts, there has to be a reason why the Broncos cut him. He was a young guy they kind of liked.
Cost no money.
He's done nothing. And Charles Rogers, think about this, was the second pick in the draft. Mike Martz comes there, and they cut him. There's got to be reasons that they cut him. That are the list got to be a mile long for that.
I mean,
and
it's not just
Miami's
and it's not just
no
that
kidding.
Yeah, not just that he's injury prone either.
No,
I mean,
no, that'd be the least of it.
Right,
he got fat, I heard, and has no work ethic,
and substance
has some issues,
substance abuse issues. I mean, there's a litany of problems with this guy. Now, at the same time, I would put him in a different category than virtually all of these other guys, only because it's obvious that he has some intriguing
talent right.
there that you might be willing to work with. Whereas Jerome Paython, I don't think
he's
he ever
garbage.
Really had the talent. And as Tom said, he hasn't really done anything in a long time, since he left Peyton Manning, really.
Right. Reverend Ray is from Boston. First part of his question, he wants to know what the Patriots ended up with draft picks with all the moves that they did this year. A lot of it you don't know yet.
No, we don't
well,
know.
Well, they have two undisclosed draft picks that they acquired, one for Brandon Gorin and one for Patrick Cobbs. The third one that people might be thinking about, Ross Tucker, they get nothing for him because Tucker did not make Cleveland's roster.
Right.
So they're entitled to nothing from the Browns. But it'll probably be either a sixth or a seventh round pick for Gorin and Cobbs. They both made the team. I would think, depending on their contributions and how long they're on those teams' rosters,
right.
might determine the
And they lost
level.
A fifth.
And they lost a fifth for Gabriel,
right.
which we all agree was a good trade.
Second part, Ray just came back from the Football Hall of Fame, so he's looking at John Hanna being one of the only
I wouldn't put him in camp.
Patriot there. You know, Mike Haynes is there as well, but he finishes
yeah.
his career and is known more as a Raider. But on that topic, he has some true or false Hall of Fame questions for all of us.
All right.
And basically, should these people get into the Hall of Fame? Drew Bledsoe.
Fiction.
False.
Really? What if he wins the Super Bowl with the Cowboys?
That probably
he hasn't done
him, that. That would probably put him over the edge.
Okay.
But,
what?
I mean, we're talking
now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But I figured if anyone, you'd be the one with the caveat. No?
No, he's always said no.
Okay. Not unless he does something else.
I don't think so either. Curtis Martin.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Lock.
Ben Coates.
No.
No.
Ted Washington.
No.
No.
Michael Bishop. Ty Law.
Yes.
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 Rodney Harrison.
No.
No.
Really?
The safeties hardly ever get in.
Right. Turncoat Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
3 years
and this
kicking
one's
in
for
that
Tom.
Get it.
Ellis Hobbs.
He won't make it to the Hall of Fame. He'll make it to the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
I can give you Pro Bowl. I can't give you Hall of Fame. Hey, I like him.
All good, right.
Good quote if you
I
need to do a feature on another
dirty
player.
Look from Andy Hart over here.
Did you like that one?
Mr.
Hey, I like him.
Mr. Peyton Manning wins a Super Bowl over here.
Gary has Gary Abrams has a very complicated question.
Uh-oh.
And it is
we won't be able to answer it.
It's going
to
be over our heads.
And basically all it is Jonathan Sullivan?
Oh, we agree.
We
That's
agree.
How we phrase it.
We agree.
I term that, Fred, the most surprising move of the week, the weekend.
Is that
the most surprising aspect of the cuts was the fact that he's still on the
team. Is that just a stubborn keep?
I think so.
I think it was.
I really think it is.
Yeah.
He was mildly surprised because I asked him, I said, were you worried? And he said, worried. I'm still worried. I could be gone at any time. And so I think it's in his mind that he...
And okay, now, we've all said this. I'm not excluding myself from the criticism.
Right.
I've watched him get pushed around and just not seem to be an NFL caliber lineman, no matter where he lines up. What are we missing? Is it possible that we're missing something?
No, I'll tell you what I think it is, Fred, and I think Andy already answered the question. Somehow Lakeven Smith got in the doghouse. And
could be.
He didn't get a lot of playing time there towards the end of the preseason.
Well, he got hurt, too, right?
Yeah, he was injured. And I think this is more for insurance, but Patriots fans, listen, we can all assure you, if Jonathan Sullivan is playing significant time on that defensive line, you are in serious trouble.
And the other thing it might point to is that, you know, this wonderful defensive line that, you know, everybody's, I think that they have three absolutely outstanding starters, but I don't think that it's nearly as deep as everybody else thinks.
Should I not write that plus?
I don't know. I think now with Mike Wright and Jarvis Green.
With Mike Wright and Jarvis
if you think undrafted
Green,
free agents are quality depth, I mean, I don't know.
I think he's a pretty good player, and I don't care where he was drafted.
You wait till
Troy
I write
Brown
the story
was drafted in the 8th
him?
Round, for crying out
but
loud.
But what have you seen? But Troy Brown has had 10 years, 12
just
years
saying,
of production.
People, you, after a while in the league, you forget about where they were drafted.
When you see him play.
I think
we haven't seen this guy play yet, but yet we've already put him in that group.
I think that Mike Wright's pretty good.
Why? Based
because
on
I've seen
what?
Him play this preseason.
Okay, all right. Well, I think we've saw that out of Dan Klecko as well, and we had the same conversation about him 3 years ago.
You guys never liked him.
Right. And
he never
we were
did
right.
anything.
But you like Mike Wright.
I do like Mike Wright more than Dan Klecko, but that doesn't mean I'm putting he's the difference between a thin defensive line and a deep one.
What Paul is saying is that where he is right now, Mike Wright, he's fine with it. But if Mike Wright has to step on the field and start for 12 games, he doesn't know.
I'm not fine with that.
That right.
Well, if it's for Richard Seymour, neither am I.
I'm right. not fine if he has to play for Ty Warren either, Fred.
Which he might this week.
Right.
So we'll see.
Just one last thing on the Sullivan. I think another aspect of it is the transition that he's making that he admitted from day one when he was here. Bill admitted to that he had everything he'd ever done in the NFL in New Orleans went out the window. The system was nothing alike.
That's
it.
A fair point.
Yeah. And he told me that Vince Wilfork said the biggest thing he needs to do is stay on blocks longer. And I think he's done a fine job of staying on blocks.
He's doing
this
that.
Preseason. And seriously, though, if that's what they're asking him to do, the first thing you need to learn is to stay on blocks. Maybe they feel like he's taken
but you
step gotta
do
one
that
of
and
five.
Not lose your ground.
Well, Vince Wilfork right. couldn't do it last year. Beginning of last year, he was staying on blocks and he was staying 8 yards in the backfield.
I got to be honest with you, Andy. That's the worst advice anyone's given since you told me I could take a shot at soccer and ask PFW and got yelled at by Fred.
That was a very good point, though, because that might be part. They want to give him a few more weeks of you know, playing in a system.
I mean,
that
if they
he
had cut Vince Wilfork when he stunk early last year, they wouldn't have a dominating offensive nose tackle.
So they see a potential.
Possibly.
Well, I don't know necessarily that they see potential as
they
maybe they don't like what they've seen, but they're saying let's be fair about this and let him because he's learned
they
a whole different
to stay
system
on blocks,
for
and
years.
He stayed on blocks. At least he does what they tell him.
They certainly have given a lot of time to Marquise Hill.
And that one I don't have. I have no possible scenarios for that one.
I put him in the Jonathan Sullivan category. I don't really understand.
Yeah. I think Bill.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the transition.
Bill's
he's
just infatuated with his size, don't you? That he keeps mentioning it in every press conference.
Fell in love with a raw specimen who's never done anything but be a raw specimen.
And you know what? He actually said that on Monday. He was asked about Marquise Hill, and he said, "You know, there aren't many, 310-pound guys.
I can find you a half dozen of them that you can sign out of the WWE right now if you want just random guys who look good in a uniform."
All right, Al Fecto.
Yes.
Al Fecto says it was quite a weekend. I really like the acquisition of Gabriel, and based on his age, I'll bet you a Patriots beer brat that he must have been a teammate of Asante Samuels at Central Florida. I don't know much about the other guy that we got from the Bills, but I'm glad we were able to reclaim Bam Childress for the development squad.
Thank goodness. I'm sure
he'll see some action this year. I'm still favoring a trade for Deion Branch if possible. This is the time to trade him. And if we can get a first-day pick plus a run-stuffing linebacker, to the extent those guys still exist out there, then I would say let's do it. Nothing against Branch here. His holdout seems to be a lot like Hines Ward's had been last year, prior to the last year of a contract, and wanting to avoid the possibility of the repeated franchise tag a la Edgerrin James. This is about the only time a good ball player has any leverage. You can't blame him. It's just not the same as the irrational T.O. holdout 1 year into a seven-year deal, a deal which the union has evidently urged him not to sign to start with. He gets on to other areas. I like everyone we kept on the offensive line. I like Pierre Woods. Unlike Monty Beisel, Woods can play football. The only thing that concerns me is that we still seem to have no pure blocking fullback. Evans and Pass, when he returns, are versatile, and I like the new kid at H-back, but with Dan Klecko cut, it seems as if the Richard Seymour era as the part-time jumbo set fullback may not have ended. I think lots of Pats fans are going to be mighty pissed if Richard gets rolled again playing fullback like he did last year against San Diego. You can say Seymour can get injured any time. That's undeniably true. But with a guy that good at his normal position, if he gets hurt, you just feel better about him getting hurt playing his position. It's just easier to accept. At Georgia, they had a quarterback prospect in the early 90s named Preston Jones. You might remember him, Tom. As a freshman, Jones played in the annual spring game. That year, the school made it into an alumni game where current players played recent Georgia alumni as opposed to a controlled intra-squad scrimmage. As a joke, in the second half, the Bulldog alumni lined up about 16 guys on defense and blitzed the hell out of Jones. Problem was, Jones broke the wrist on his passing arm in the play, taking a sack. He was never the same, ruined his career.
That must have been under Ray Goff. Only that idiot would do something that stupid. Yeah.
So the moral of the story, Al, says you just got to watch out about being too cute.
I don't think there's any chance Richard Seymour plays fullback.
And I'm dead set against that kind of crap. There's no need to put your best defensive player in at fullback.
And we've already
signed Lorenzo Neal or something.
Well, we've already seen.
I don't even
Hope
think
Stein.
You need.
Hey,
that.
Young lady.
Yeah, you
if you have one play or you know two or three specific plays that you need a goal line fullback or something, put an offensive lineman there. I agree wholeheartedly with Andy. Otherwise, I just don't think the position is in need anymore in the NFL. Go around and look at the teams and think about in your head, you know, all the teams the Patriots play, and tell me who that smash-mouth Sam Gash-type fullback is. There aren't that many. Lorenzo Neal is one.
Yeah,
no
and when he retires, I'm not going to know anyone to say.
There really aren't that many guys like that.
The Patriots PR has officially gone to a depth chart in a starting lineup that includes two tight ends.
Following suit with Patriots Football Weekly, who, by the way, made that switch long ago.
And Ben Watson and Daniel Graham are now both considered starters for this team, and in doing so, taking away the fullback position, they also now list Garrett Mills as a tight end on the roster.
And when I was watching Evans for my preview story during the Giants game, it seemed like he's gotten a little bit better at blocking.
Yeah.
He's better than Mills. He's hitting with more force and driving some guys back. Now, when he got here last year, he was just terrible at it.
There's a guy, I think I'll admit I was wrong about Heath Evans. I think he offers a little bit more to a team than I thought he did.
Good to finally hear you say that, Paul, after all your loud mouth talking about him last year.
I wasn't the one who made a bet about his rushing yards in the game like you.
Last carry.
But I just think I think that there are some other things. I think he catches the ball reasonably well. I think he has roles on special teams that he can fill. I think he's a pretty versatile guy. I think he's a good Patriot. He guy that does a lot of different things.
I got to be honest with you. He's certainly a guy I wouldn't just cut a few games into the season like the Dolphins.
Strange.
Especially
considering that Nick Saban is a Belichick protege who obviously is looking for the same kinds of guys. Now, I'm not saying they're the same person, Saban and Belichick, but you would think that they have the same kinds of philosophies with all the time they've spent together and all the talking they've probably done over the years. I'm surprised that they would decide to just cut this guy after he started for him the first, whatever, five games of the year.
You'd have to figure there's another guy on the team somewhere they could have gotten rid of.
Fred, is that Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and the Manning father?
Archie Manning.
Is that, I couldn't think of his name.
Have those guys done anything
funny?
Commercials this offseason?
But is that one funny or has it been around for a month so it's no longer funny?
I actually did see that commercial. I thought it was reasonably funny.
It looked funny without audio when it was just on.
It was reasonably funny.
I got to be honest. I remember probably towards the end of last season, we got an Ask PFW about Peyton Manning being in commercials, and I made the point to you guys that Tom Brady's in a lot of commercials too, but, I mean, it's not even close anymore. That Manning is selling everything from computers to motorcycles.
Commercials are funny. Tom Brady hasn't done a funny commercial, really.
You know, what's funny is the commercials that Brady is in are in, the other guys that are in them with him are
right,
funny.
Steal the show. You know, Manning is funny.
Givens was funny.
Don't tell me Cut the Meat's not that funny. The one with the mustache is funny.
Not anymore.
And obviously the metaphors, you know, the linemen stole the show there.
Right. Maybe it's just Brady can't get it done. He's good at some things. Manning's a good spokesman. Brady's a good quarterback.
Brady wins games. Manning,
makes commercials. Sells products. Peyton Manning will be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy this year.
Really?
He wins some, he loses some.
Do you think the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl? Is that who you picked?
Apparently. Tom has been beating me over the head with it for a
week. The Colts suck.
Tom, one thing you'll learn here is we forget about those picks that we make in the paper right away.
It went with my whole theory, you know. Adam Vinatieri is going to make Peyton Manning a winner the way he made Tom Brady a winner.
Oh, I remember that.
Phil from Austin says, I'd like to take issue with Paul's comment that players have to honor their contracts and teams don't. Both sides have to honor the contracts.
Well,
teams generally have the right to terminate a player contract at their convenience. The termination provisions of the standard player contract may be one-sided in the team's favor, but it is incorrect to say that the teams don't have to honor their contracts.
They don't.
I think technically Phil is right.
No, he's not.
A team is not violating a contract by cutting a guy.
If you sign a contract that's for 5 years.
But within the contract, it says you can do that. So you're not
within the contract. Within the CBA allows you to do it. The contract is a 5-year contract. It says you're going to pay them.
Right, but the overriding standard language in every contract.
You're getting off on a ridiculous semantic technicality.
Well, in the Constitution, it says Leon Branch doesn't have to show up to work.
Jeez. Talk about just no matter what the team does is right.
Don't worry, Phil. You're right.
You get a contract.
Phil,
I think I'm vastly underpaid, Fred.
Why don't you hold on?
Why don't you go see what you can find on the open market and get back to us by Friday?
Can I go seek a trade?
Can I give you permission to seek a trade?
Unfortunately, most of our listeners would be happy if that happened.
Just
so
you know,
staying.
I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm expecting you not to get any lucrative offers. Because if you do, I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to tell you that right
unfortunately,
now.
Unfortunately, Paul, I'm expecting the same thing.
It's going to blow up on me if this happens. I'll be the first to admit it, unlike Fred.
Justin from Alaska says,
"Hey, Justin,
I'm pretty sure that we're going to skip on Charles Rogers. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
I think that his injuries and attitude that he's displayed will be enough for us not to take the chance."
Fred, what do you think about Charles Rogers?
I think immensely talented, but he's screwed up in the head.
Okay. I always like to get when guys are out there, you on the record, so if we do sign him, we can kind of juxtapose it to your feelings.
Once we get him, I'll emphasize the immensely
talented
part.
He was never understood, and they didn't treat him properly in Detroit.
Exactly. But I think what you're saying, I think he was immensely talented. Like, I think Drew Henson was immensely talented at one point. Somewhere along the Rodgers' career, he's lost something. Either he didn't work hard, he just got the money and didn't care anymore. But as of right now, I don't think he's immensely talented.
Okay, next topic. I may be wrong here in the end, but when I heard we picked up the Angel Gabriel for what turned out to be a fifth-round pick, I had to change my panties. He had 9 catches over 20 yards last year and 8 the year before. From 5'9 to 6'2 is a good step up as well. But to me, the number one improvement is actually for Gabriel. Now he has Brady throwing the ball instead of a carousel of nobodies or wannabes. I think that if we can get him up to speed by the Denver game, we'll be okay this year. Assuming that Riche also learns to hold on the ball to the ball. My Raider fan friend was pissed when he heard about the trade. He wanted Porter to go, not Gabriel.
Yeah, I got a lot of Raider fans were mad when
Raider Nation.
The Raider Nation was not happy with this trade. So it's weird. It's because you would think, like, if there was something wrong, like we were thinking, that the Raider fans would be bringing this out.
If he was dropping balls
right now
all preseason,
that the
they'd want him out.
Stockpiling because they're going to go after a quarterback next year or something like that? Stockpiling draft picks, maybe? I don't know.
They might be in position to draft one no matter what, Fred. I don't know if they have to stockpile draft picks. They're going to be picking the top 5, probably.
I understand what your point is, though. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't see how you can give up on a season before it starts, though. I mean, even the worst team thinks they have a chance.
The only thing I can think of is that Art Shell has laid down some pretty hard rules there, and maybe he didn't follow them all or something. And he got
I'm sticking with my, you know, the guy just isn't really picking up what he needs to do, is increase responsibilities they weren't happy with.
Pat say Klecko away. So ultimately, his inability to convert to inside linebacker to me was his downfall. He's just too short to play D-line. Great motor, but needed him to be our next Ted Johnson, and he wasn't. Would you agree that ultimately that was his downfall? Yes, we had a better D-line this year than he competed against, but I'm talking big picture.
Big picture is he's not an NFL player, I don't think.
He just couldn't find a place.
I don't really think the Patriots had designs on him being the next Ted Johnson.
No.
Even you, Fred, as high as you were on him when you were comparing him to, the likes of
a backup
Andre
to Teddy
Tippett.
Bruschi, maybe.
Dan Klecko, University.
Dan Klecko, if you're listening, give me a call. I will make you millions. Quit the NFL because you can't play football. This guy needs to be on ESPN. He's funny. He's got a good personality. I think he would tell it like it is as like an analyst. He would be so much better than some of the guys they have.
He's got some name recognition.
WWE's not a bad idea either. I picture him as a Doink the Clown kind of guy.
I'm telling you, as an analyst on in a studio setting.
I like Dan Klecko an awful lot. I agree with everything Tom just said.
Not buying the fish. What is your opinion of the Dolphins' chances to overtake us this year? The press seems to think they will, but I ain't buying it. I'm not saying they may via a wild card spot, but
we know what he means.
But I'm not seeing them take the East. Their defense is older than ours and slower. It's Dante's first year in the system, and I don't think they're as deep or good at O-line. I don't expect them to sweep this year, as we usually drop one in Miami. But if they beat us for the AFC East, I'll take Lori out for a night of steak, wine, and truth or dare. What do you think?
Well,
most of us will do that even if they don't.
That's a tough bet.
One thing about the defense that's a misconception is that it's an old defense. Some of the starters are old, but Nick Saban has begun to stockpile young defensive players. Like I heard Gresh when I was on with the pregame show talking about how old their defense is. But that's just if you look at the surface. They got a lot of guys that come in sub packages and backups who are young guys.
Even some young defense. I mean, Travis Daniels, right. They integrated in
but
last
see,
year.
I think that's why this is a year where they might take a
that's
little bit because he is transitioning, and then next
with.
Year those young guys are going to be the lead dogs and kind of leading the way.
The other
there,
part
so.
That I would strongly disagree with is the press is picking Miami. What was it? 12 experts on ESPN.
Oh, they are,
and two of them pick Miami to beat the
that's
Patriots
enough.
In the division.
Disrespect.
I thought only.
Oh, only one? Was it only one?
John Clayton, I thought, was the only guy that
John
picked
Clayton
them to win the division.
And I think Doc Z in Sports Illustrated picked both. Patriots in Miami to go 11-5.
But
Miami
there's a couple. I know ESPN the magazine picked them to go to the Super Bowl against the Panthers.
But I think that they had a panel of like 12 that picked the Patriots to win the.
And by the way, ESPN the magazine. I saw the Seth Wickersham guy has his own blog on ESPN. He wrote a whole entry about how the magazine was wrong and they should have listened to him when he was telling them who to pick, and his editor was wrong, and the Dolphins have no chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, nice.
But
well, I agree with that. I don't think the Dolphins have any chance
right,
to win.
Right, but the thing about the Dolphins is that they play pretty much the same schedule as the Patriots, that easy schedule.
Right.
And the one of their tougher games that may not be as tough now was the Steelers.
Right.
And Roethlisberger's not there.
That's
so
a
if
good
they
point.
Win that game, I think they're going to be... I don't think they'll win the East, but I think because they play pretty much the same schedule, they'll be in it for a while.
I think they're going to be Jacksonville of last year. They're going to be a wild card with a pretty good record that's not as good as their record.
Yeah, that could definitely
because they play
happen.
A very soft schedule.
I think I picked them as a wild card.
I did as well.
Scott from Pasco.
And you never know if they all of a sudden come out and they beat the Patriots in those two games.
Fred would like to read
things
the
can change.
Giving you that pissy look.
I know. I'm sorry, Fred. I didn't mean to
Scott analyze. From Pasco, Washington has a trade idea.
Oh,
for Branch, he says, considering Seattle's continued interest
please don't
in Branch, even after the deadline came and went, I thought for a bit on what Seattle could possibly offer. I came up with this idea.
Tom Ashworth?
Which I admit may be a bit far-fetched, but am still curious if you think it would suit the Patriots
in
the league.
This isn't Tatupu. This is different.
Seattle gets Branch, sending Seneca Wallace in a mid-round third or fifth draft pick to New England.
What can you tell me about Seneca Wallace, Fred?
He's a wide receiver.
He's a quarterback.
Well, he used to be a quarterback.
Well, where did he go to college?
Still a quarterback.
He's still a quarterback?
Iowa State.
Yep.
I was asking Fred.
Oh, sorry.
What Quincy Wallace Morgan, could give New England is a Randall L-type QB turn wide receiver. This would not only add depth at the wide receiver position, but Seneca could also fill in at the number 3 QB position. We all know Belichick loves versatility. It would open up the occasional trick play opportunity, not to mention it would keep that
keep Troy Brown could keep his moonlighting to the cornerback.
And you've traded your leading receiver for a gimmick.
Yeah, for
I, say, I wouldn't trade.
Yeah, I don't like how many big plays did Randall L. actually make in Pittsburgh? Like with those, I mean, it was only a couple.
I take Wallace and a first.
Yeah, I mean,
so, okay, right. I would do that.
The first would get
absolutely
because so Wallace.
Yeah, I would trade.
He's
I would trade Branch
quarterback
for first.
In Seattle, you know,
right.
He's not a receiver. Right. He's still playing. They want to. They want to kind of do that, but he's progressed as a quarterback, so he's actually their backup.
I was going to say, isn't he their number two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike in Florida says, "What the heck? Only one linebacker on the practice squad? There should be eight. What was the deal with Mincy and Roach? If they weren't even good enough for the Pats practice squad, why did they last till the last cuts? I thought Mincy looked pretty good for a rookie in the preseason. Think about it. We have a 90-year-old Seau, 60-year-old Brewski, Vrabel, and Colvin. After that, nothing. I can't believe they have left the cupboard become so bare. Even if they draft 10 backers next year, they'll all be rookies. Pray for the health of our starters in New England. This is one area of personnel I think Belichick and Pioli have really dropped the ball."
And I will agree. And, Gary, get that horn ready because I'm about to start. I'm tooting it. Oliver Hoyt made not the Cowboys practice squad, and now all you emailers who emailed in with your funny little jokes, he made the final 53-man roster, beating out a guy they gave $1 million signing bonus to. So while the Patriots were busy signing Freddie Roach and Jeremy Mincy, if they had read Patriots.com, they would have had Oliver Hoyt. So next year in the war room, if Bill wants me and Andy to be there,
that always sounds
we'll
like Borges.
More than happy because we'll let them know who to pick. And, well, just, you know, this guy's saying, like, what happened to the linebackers we signed? Well, we thought Oliver Hoyt would be a perfect fit in a 3-4 defense, and at the very least, a demon on special teams, and that's how he made the Cowboys. And right now, the Patriots are looking for that kind of player.
Well, I think Tom's level and his standard is pretty special.
But we took quite a beating for the Oliver Hoyt prediction.
Yes,
so
you did.
We, you know,
right.
He did make an NFL team as an undrafted free agent. And
I mean,
the guys that
on draft weekend, when his category. When round by round went by and he wasn't getting drafted, those two guys, Andy and Tom, were getting pounded.
We were laughed at.
That's
who's laughing now?
Not being disrespectful. To
anybody. I will say also, you know first of all, Freddie Roach. First of all, there really aren't any last cuts anymore because they're within 3 days from each other. But in technicality, Freddie Roach went in the first cut, not the last one. Mincy was a guy, I think, that he was probably on the bubble. I think Woods probably did a little bit more than he did, and he got the nod. I think that was probably those two guys were probably up for that last spot or last couple of spots, and they went with Woods. And I think they made the right call.
It's
I think Woods was a little bit more
–
he was more productive. He got earlier reps from what we saw on the preseason. Those last two games in the preseason, he was out there earlier than Mincy was. What are you going to do? You're going to keep all – you can't keep everybody on your practice squad.
And
you need offensive linemen, you need some receivers, and nowadays I think it's looking like, and Bill kind of touched on this today, thought it was interesting, he didn't come out and say it, but I think you need a quarterback because a lot of teams, I think there's 8 or 9 teams, Bill said today, are going with 2 quarterbacks on their active roster. I think it makes all the sense in the world. Once they made that practice squad go from 5 to 8, I think it's a no-brainer. Have a quarterback on your practice squad and save a roster.
Not only that, now that it goes to 3 years, you have a guy in JT O'Sullivan who's relatively experienced as a third quarterback type. You can have guys that aren't necessarily still trying to learn a system, although he's new here.
Very smart, though. Now he can come in and he could, you know, perfect world. He can learn your system on your practice squad.
Patriots are smart?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Smarter than most teams, which has been said by me quite often in the past.
Okay.
It's a little different when I say it than when they say it about themselves. That's the part that rubs me the wrong. That's the part that rubs me the wrong
Never
way.
Never heard them say that.
Because no one works any. We know that no one's working any harder than us.
So
quote. Anyway,
what's with that?
How do you know
it's
that?
Obnoxious.
Because you're working as hard
know.
As you possibly can.
So you don't know
they
if
they might be working harder. Maybe their possibly can is harder than yours.
That's nothing to do with
don't
smart.
Don't baffle them. Don't
where did,
baffle
where did smart come from?
Fred, please.
Okay.
Institutional arrogance.
All right.
And, I'll make a prediction, Fred. Now that they've pretty much established the offense the last couple of years, I say there'll be 4 new linebackers in here next year competing for either free agents or draft
picks. Well,
that
seems to be the
4 new linebackers in this year competing for free.
I'm talking about real ones.
Okay.
That seems to be the thought process yesterday in the mailbag on AskPFW. A lot of people were saying, I got to think they're going to go to linebacker and go defense in the first 3 or 4 picks, and I would just caution
exactly.
And say, I think in a perfect world, they would have done that this year.
They're not going to jam it in.
I'm not saying they'll do it for the sake of doing it. I'm just saying somewhere along the line, they're going to start bringing some guys in at that.
Yeah, they have to.
These guys are getting too old. What are you going to do?
And Corey Mays is here, and as a practice squad guy, Pierre Woods is here on the roster as a de facto, you know, practice squad guy. I don't think that he'll have a big role. So there's two young guys that you can kind of develop and see where you go from there. You have Tully Bantakane, probably going to be a first-time starter, without question a first-time contributor on defense. That's three young linebackers. You know, maybe one or two of those guys pan out. You bring in, like Tom said, a couple more next year to develop. Who knows? Maybe this time 2 years from now, you have four or five young linebackers out of the core of your defense.
All right. Listen to me. It's like 1:30 now. At 1:45, we're going to do the picks, but we're going to blow through them. Okay,
right. Only 1:30.
I just want to do a few more emails here. Rob in Ashburn, Virginia, he wants to trade for Lofa Tatupu. We're going to skip over that. But he says, I've also emailed you in the past about certain Boston people having their own agenda, and you guys said, I have my own Patriot agenda, which is true. But what is with the fascination with Ron Borges? Everywhere the Patriots have a media source, he's there. He writes for the Globe. He's on the Patriot Rock Radio Network. And now he's on the new TV show, Four Downs with Felger. And he's on Patriots Friday with Andy Hart. Is he that much of a ratings draw?
Boy, I hope
I'm
on.
He is the anti-Patriot. He never says anything positive. I'm really interested in what you guys have to think. That's exactly why, Rob, he's on those shows, because he is the anti-Patriot, and he gets people discussing.
And he's good.
Can I just say that
the problem I have is none of the traditional media, none of the objective journalists have either the knowledge or the stones to argue with them.
Well, Fred, and can I bring up a point, which I said to these two after I was on the pregame
show? So I'm looking for big things from Andy.
But he is a very good arguer.
Yes.
He is
tremendous.
And I have never been on like a show with him before, so this is only the second time I've done something with him. And when he makes a point, he makes you think, boy, he actually makes a pretty good. So you got to try to get over that and try to get through what he's saying.
Exactly.
He got Tom to say, I hate Bill Belichick.
He did not get me to say that, or I wouldn't be
that's
here.
That's the only part, and I think you touched on it, Fred, is I agree totally that he is one of those guys with an agenda. So, Rob,
yes.
I'm not saying that you're wrong about that. I totally think he's – but Ron Borges is very good. Okay, he is well-connected. He has a lot of knowledge about the game, about the league, and about individual teams. I don't agree with his points of view all the time. Matter of fact, quite often I'm totally on the opposite side of his point of view. But he is very good at what he does.
And he's as well-connected locally and nationally as anyone.
Anybody.
And locally, I think Patriots fans miss that. I think they assume because he doesn't come and do press conferences and doesn't talk to Bill Belichick that he's not well. He's as well connected as anyone on the beat.
Here's what I'll say about that.
He showed that this year when he was not here once, and all of a sudden, you know, we're 3 months into the Deion Brand situation, and he wrote a story with inside information that had yet to be uncovered. How
did
we find out
connected
as
anyone?
How did
we find out about that 3-year, $18.5 million contract?
If you're an agent and you want information out there, you're going
to
call the at-large writer from the Globe.
Whoever
it is.
Agents.
Whoever it is.
You think you got all that information from the agent? You're naive, my friend.
I don't care who it is.
You
want to call the guy from the Globe because that's the best place to put your info.
Not just agents, Fred.
I'm embarrassed for what you just said.
Now, let me ask your opinion on this. Would you agree that he doesn't hate the Patriots? His problem is with Belichick, personally.
Oh,
I would agree with that.
Matter of fact, I think he's very fond of the organization.
Right. I think he gets a bad rap in that aspect, that he hates the team, but I think it's just him and Belichick.
But you know what? Patriots fans are right to say, hey, if you hate Belichick, you hate the Patriots.
He does have an agenda.
Why?
I'll give you. I'm saying
he's
got
a
personal
head
problem
coach.
With the
I wouldn't
coach.
Say I fall into that category.
If I hate certain players, do I hate the Patriots?
I never liked Willie McGinnis. That means I hate the Patriots.
If you hate them.
I hated.
You don't think they're good players.
I hated Willie McGinnis. That meant I hated the Patriots?
Well, maybe not him.
Okay. I hate players in the locker room now, but I don't hate the Patriots.
I don't hate anybody.
Oh, I do. I hate a lot of people.
Tom, you hate the general public.
I mean the players. No one's ever really done anything to me,
How can
I guess.
You hate Bill Belichick if you're a Patriots fan? He's brought us
Borges
three
is
not
a fan.
I have no
idea.
Covers the team for a little.
I'm just saying, but you know, you can separate that. I don't believe you can.
If you're a fan,
yeah, absolutely not.
Well, you're not a fan if you hate Belichick or Brady. There's just no possible way to get around that.
I don't even want to get into it because it's going to be a whole discussion.
Well, I don't want to do anything.
The guy in Afghanistan is going to get pissed off at us. Move on.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin says, it's too bad Deion Branch decided to be the center of attention. The season was going to be about the only... I don't know. The only thing that I'm upset about is that we could have made a stronger offer with David Givens if we knew this Deion Branch thing would turn out the way it did. I'm sure you guys
like know that.
I'm sure you guys will comment if the team is better with Deion than it is now, especially since Chad Jackson will not see the light of day anytime soon. Deion, I think it's safe to say no matter how this sham of a hearing turns out, has played his last game as a Patriot. With that said, here is some 2006 Pats fact or fiction, since it's fun to hear from you guys when you guys do this. One, there will be at least three Pats receivers with 50 or more receptions
this
year.
Unless you're counting Watson into that.
Yeah, I think you do have to count that.
Pass catchers, then, I say true. Receivers, fiction.
Fiction.
I'm going fiction. I'm going fiction all around.
Wide receiver is now the biggest concern when it comes to injury.
Fact.
When it comes to injury.
Fiction. I think they stink to start, and if you lose more, you're even worse.
So how much worse are you going to be? Fiction. If they lose, if they lose Vrabel and Brewski, they're dead.
That's what I say. Three, Chad Jackson.
All right, I changed my mind. Fiction.
So did I actually sway you in an argument?
It didn't take 8 million words
but
like
you
usually
got,
try.
You got two people getting hurt. Receivers only need one.
What I'm saying is, how much worse can you get? It's like kid and play. How much more trouble can I get into?
Chad Jackson will have more receptions than Rishea Caldwell.
Fiction.
Bam Childress is another overhyped Michael Bishop camp preseason athlete that fans put too much stock in.
Fans and Fred. Fact.
I say false. Coming to the area for the game this weekend, nothing beats a September Pats weekend. Screw the Sox. It's Pats season. Fact. P.S. Here's
Pats
an interesting question.
Red Sox are out of it.
Pats are out of it.
Red Sox are out of it.
Slip there.
I was going to save it for next week, but I know what Fred feels. Has the border war a la Pats Jets front office rivalry been reborn?
Yes.
I want a
yes.
team first attitude where players are working
the
name on the front of the jersey and the name on the back of the jersey.
What are you asking? Because the media will certainly make it into one for
but
sure.
They always have.
But it's not going to be the tuna bowl.
I think there was some true animosity on the part of the front offices between the Patriots and the Jets when Parcells left here and went there. I don't think that's here now.
I
do. I agree with Fred.
Let's see. Three quick questions from Eddie.
Eddie.
He says, how much influence does Tom Brady ultimately have in the receivers in the Patriots draft?
None.
Hey, how are you?
I think he has some. I disagree. You don't think that they
call on everybody now on draft day before they pick? They call Corey Dillon, they call Tom Brady?
This is not everybody. Don't say Tom Brady is the same as, you know,
but what
Willie
are you
Andrews.
Saying, Paul? They,
I mean, come on,
they
Tom
got
Brady
like
is,
in the meetings with Scott. I
think that I'm not saying that he makes the final call or he is instrumental. I think they pick his brain. I think that he is in on the
like what kinds of receivers?
Yeah.
Watch
this guy. Do you think this guy, you know, runs routes or whatever in a way that would fit into our system or whatever? I got to think that Brady's involved.
I think it's minimal, if any.
Hey, by the way, Sandeep writes in. Guess who was picked up by the Colts?
Dan Klecko.
Oh, okay, you knew.
About a week ago or whenever he was cut.
Okay.
Right around the time that Hank Colts got cut from the Jets, and you said that he would be a lock.
Sandeep lives, where does he live?
Virginia, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in Turkey.
Did Reese call the Jets and ask him if it was hard to cut Hank Poteet?
Because, Eric, you know, you worked with him in New England. You've had a history with him. Is it harder?
And I would have just said, no, I'll just pick him up in November when we have seven cornerbacks hurt.
Before the Patriots do.
All right. Okay, so we got a lot of emails. And
I
want to thank everyone for emailing in, but we do have to get to the picks.
Why don't you shoot through a few more? We can do the picks quick.
Yeah, we can do.
Huh?
It's the beginning of the season. We don't know anything about any of the teams, so we're just going to pick quick.
Raymond Malcolm is a platoon sergeant, and he's a frequent emailer, right?
Okay.
Fort Belvoir, Virginia. I see that much hasn't changed since I've been gone. I'm in the Army and just got back from overseas.
Good.
Thank you. And currently stationed with the Old Guard at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. I like what the team has done so far, and I believe that we are serious contenders as usual. I am so pumped. My wife got tickets to opening day against Buffalo. What's the chance that I could meet you guys Saturday prior to the game? I think we could have Andy.
Zero.
Saturday?
I won't be here.
Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday, Fred will meet you. Saturday, Fred will meet you here around 4.
I have been a fan of you guys since you got started. I haven't been able to write to you since I was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. He's at Fort Benning. Everybody seems to forget that we have Brady and Belichick, and as long as we have them, we will be fine.
Tom has never forgotten that. He writes that in the last paragraph of every story he's ever written for us.
I myself feel that Branch is overrated, and if he isn't willing to play, oh well. We don't need him. Belichick and Pioli will find somebody else to replace him with. Like everyone else says, Brady's favorite receiver is the open one. Glad to be home.
Actually,
great
he said
job
it was
as usual.
Branch.
Take care and go Pats.
Everyone else might say his favorite receiver is the open one, but he says it's Branch.
He has said that several times.
Well, I would, but on Saturday, I am closing my pool. That's
are you really? You're calling it? Should I make the call?
I'm calling it.
I just bummed out, Fred. I finally got that water crystal clear, and all of a sudden that heat just stopped.
And on Saturday, I will be preparing for Ohio State, Texas. So.
Well, why don't you get some preparation in? Take a ride to Peabody. We'll drive out to Worcester together, watch Northeastern Holy Cross at 1.
That's all right.
No? It's on TV, though. You can watch it on TV.
Okay.
Hey, Greg from Waltham
Comcast,
says...
Comcast, CNE.
Greg from Waltham says, last week you read an email on the air from a fan named Mr. Leaf, who declared himself a musician in the Boston area. If this is the Mr. Leaf of the group, the Perceptionists, then I just want...
Liff.
What?
Liff.
Liff.
L-I-F.
Then I just want to send a shout-out to him. If you don't know already, the Perceptionists are a Boston-based hip-hop group who wrote the song The Razor, a great ode to the Patriots, and a great option for the touchdown song at Gillette. Have you
I agree.
Heard it?
Gary, you should consider that. Have you heard it?
I have heard it.
Is it good?
It's very good.
Have you heard it?
Why don't you play it? Do you have it?
Sorry, I got a phone call.
I've never heard. Okay.
Scott wants to know, how do the offers the Patriots reportedly offered Deion Branch compared to what a second-round pick would make? If it's comparable, then why would the Patriots refuse a trade? Well, that's Paul's argument, but I'm not buying it.
Actually, that would run counter to my argument. I think he got that offer was more than a second-round pick we get.
Phil, let's see, we already took one from Phil. Let's go to Mensa from the Bronx. I'm so excited for the start of the season. It's true that Deion Branch was the one who discouraged... is it true that Deion Branch was the one who discouraged Javon Walker not to come and even talk to the Patriots? If it is true, then I don't care how good he is. We don't need him. By the way, the Patriots should stay firm with their negotiations with him and his greedy agent. This guy is getting the wrong advice and representation. Let Deion Branch go so that we can concentrate on the players who are here.
I don't think you have to worry about them staying firm.
Len,
I wouldn't concern myself with that with the Patriots. They'll be firm.
Len says that he thinks the Patriots are poised for a great season. The fly in the ointment is Branch. I can see both sides of the argument and can hardly blame Branch for wanting a $13 million signing bonus and not wanting to settle for less. I'm impressed with how little both sides have said to the press, but this seems to have the potential to really drag down the whole organization because it requires a lot of energy and talent focused away from playing football. I would hope that it would just get resolved one way or the other as soon as possible to minimize the damage. Do you think Branch is past the point of no return, or could you see this still being resolved in a win-win way in the near future? Look, anything can happen.
I believe it's past the point.
I agree.
No. After all the things you said in the history of sports with these types of things and players coming back and everything gets swept under the carpet, never say never.
But on which end?
I didn't say never, Fred. I said I believe it's past the point of no return. That means I don't think that Branch will be back.
I don't think in sports anything is ever past the point.
But on which end? Which end is it irreparably damaged?
I don't think that Deion Branch... I don't care. I don't think Deion Branch will ever play another down for the Patriots.
But why?
I don't care. I just don't think
he
will.
What do you mean you don't care?
What does it matter?
Either he says, you know what, I no longer want
to
come back, or the team says,
that's my point. I don't think
we no longer want him.
I don't think he wants to play here.
I think it's mostly on the part of the player.
Okay.
I think he's being selfish here, as I said it earlier.
Well, you know what, I don't care.
The worst answer you've ever given.
But it doesn't matter. I just don't think he's going to be back.
But it does.
Fred's like, you can never say never. I didn't say never.
Because I think on the Patriots end, you can never say never. Because I think...
I don't say never on the other end.
If Branch came in with an offer that he thought was fine, Bill would put him out on the field tomorrow and say, you know what, we forgot all that crap.
I agree.
But I don't think... I think Branch is dug in and just doesn't want to be here anymore.
I agree.
But that's my point of why I don't think he'll be back. But
I asked you to pick one of the two sides, and you said, I don't care.
You're
but it doesn't really matter either way. I just don't think he's going to be back. What difference does it make why he won't be back in the field? I don't think he will be.
Because it's a specific issue with two sides negotiating, two sides ticking each other off in different ways, and
well,
if one
the
draws the line
that
in the sand...
I think it's equal parts then. I don't want to put it all on one side.
I think it's all Dean. I think he will decide he doesn't want to be here. Or has already decided.
But I think that he wants money that I don't think the team will give him.
But I think he may have reached the point where he knows there's at least two teams out there where he can get money. So even if the Patriots offered him money, I don't think he wants to be here anymore. Now, if they offered $80 million over the next 6 years, he might say, you know what, I'm cool.
If they give him the money that he wants, if they give him the money he wants, I think he would sign.
Oh,
I don't think that would happen.
I don't. I think he needs to be overpaid to stay here now.
Let's see.
Well, the money he wants is overpaid.
I think he needs to get more than $39 million over 6 years.
I think that would do it. Bang.
Nick Ratz, two questions. If Brewski comes back at full strength and say I was playing reasonably well, will Vrabel move back outside? Will the three of them just roam the three positions and blitz from all over?
I don't care. That's the answer we use on this show now.
That's comparable. If everybody's healthy, I think Vrabel goes
different.
Back outside.
I don't think Seau can withstand 16 games, though. So I think you're going to see Vrabel doing a little switching as the some inside,
well,
some outside.
I don't think that
plus
Seau
Mr.
16 games,
Tully Vandekane, pencil him in as a starter. I know it's a joke and all, but I really haven't seen him do anything that makes me say I'm comfortable with him as a starter.
Me and Paul have. He can start.
I know. You guys love him. Paul doesn't think Mike Wright's capable of playing, but Tully Vandekane is a superstar.
See that? I didn't say that Mike Wright's not capable.
I think Mike Wright and Tully Vandekane are the exact same guy.
I
think they have some physical ability.
On
one's penciled in as a starter, and nobody seems to worry.
Who's not worried?
I'm saying that the linebackers, we say they don't have depth.
I have this whole thing about I'd rather have a wide receiver get hurt than a linebacker because I don't think they have any.
All right, guys.
But you never questioned him as a starter.
Of course I
You don't think Mike Wright's even a capable backer.
All right, time out.
Tully Vandekane.
Only Fred's allowed to argue on this show.
No, we got to do the picks.
We got to do the picks.
Okay, I'll take the Patriots. I'll take whoever's playing the Jets. I'll take
whoever's playing the Packers.
Right.
So I don't think you played.
It's that. Oh, he's making fun of me when he does that.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not. I was making fun of the picks. I don't think it's going
to
take very long.
I don't ever want you to ask me whoever's playing the Packers.
Go, Pack, go.
Oh, I want you to write down the other team.
Okay.
I don't care who it is.
All right. Let's go quickly. We have to
play the
Raiders today, not only because it's our only day of doing the show this week, but because it's a Thursday game, so we got to get these picks in. And let's get to that Thursday game quickly, guys. Miami at the Steelers. We know Roethlisberger won't be playing because something blew up in his stomach. So what do you say, Andy?
I'll take the Miami Dolphins. The Roethlisberger injury changed me on this one totally. I think Willie Parker's overrated. I think they don't have a good chance of winning without Roethlisberger.
As reported here 2 weeks ago, Miami rolls. Hey, I can't do anything about injuries. 35. I said 35-10. Make it 38-10.
Paul.
I'll take Pittsburgh. I think Culpepper is not going to be quite ready.
Well, I agree with
and
that.
I think he's going to play. I just don't think he's going to be ready to go.
I guarantee.
And if that's the case, then I think it's a complete wash in terms of the quarterback situation. I'll take the home team.
Well, I have it in writing that Pittsburgh doesn't make the playoffs this year, but despite that, with Roethlisberger out, I still think they're going to lose this game.
Interesting analogy.
What I meant to say is
that Pittsburgh, I would have had picked Pittsburgh to win this game despite not thinking they're going to make the playoffs. But now I think
Dolphins
Miami's going to win.
Blitz all night, all night long.
Now I see why we needed so much time for when Fred makes his pick.
Okay.
And you're totally, utterly confused
no idea.
What he's done. I don't even know who we picked.
I still say, though, that Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs.
Me too.
Right. You still say it after their quarterback's not playing.
I'm going to pick Miami to beat Pittsburgh, but I still say Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs.
It's not the right, but it's in writing. Pittsburgh, with or without Roethlisberger, doesn't make the playoffs. Falcons at Carolina.
Carolina. They're my Super Bowl team. They started early and roll.
Carolina.
I think we're all taking Carolina, right?
Yeah, I think Atlanta.
But Paul has to say something.
I think Atlanta stinks.
Doesn't he always?
I thought we were making picks.
Well, we got to go quickly. Ravens at Tampa Bay. Andy.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, really? Okay.
Tampa Bay big.
Really?
Now Paul's going to pick the Ravens.
I'm going to sulk now and not say any words.
Paul's not going to say
Tampa
anything.
Bay. He hates the Ravens.
I don't care. You should see the look on Paul's face.
He really is. He's mad. I don't know what to say.
Who is it? Tampa Bay?
I'm allowed to say that? Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay.
Me too. Tampa Bay.
And what he would have said was, you hate Steve McNair.
And
right?
The defense is too good.
All right. Bengals at Kansas City. Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Bengals on the at Kansas City?
At Kansas City.
Okay, despite tough place to play, I'll go Bengals big.
Okay.
Not even close. Bengals by 3 touchdowns.
All right.
Kansas City.
You're going to say Kansas City. Why, Paul?
I'm not allowed to say.
Okay. I'm going to say Bengals. Denver at St. Louis.
Denver. Yeah. I don't think St. Louis is a very good team.
I'm worried about this one as a trap one, but I'm going to go with Denver.
Why do I feel like I've picked about eight road
teams?
I'm going
to go with Denver as well.
Because there's a lot of road teams.
New Orleans at Cleveland. New Orleans at Cleveland.
I'm going to take New Orleans. Fresh start, Reggie Bush, big game.
Okay. New Orleans is known for these first week.
Yeah, Reggie Bush, big game, Cleveland wins.
Cleveland.
I'm going to go with Cleveland as well. Sunday at 1, Jets at Tennessee.
Tennessee. I think the Jets stink.
Okay. I'm excited to be a head coach.
Jets.
Tennessee.
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
I'm going to go with
Bill Parcells. Okay. I'm on Burgundy.
Two bad teams picked the home team. Eagles at Texans.
Eagles.
Very close game. Closer than the experts think. Eagles by a field goal.
Paul.
Eagles.
I'm going to take the Texans in an upset. Seahawks at Detroit. Andy.
Seahawks.
Well, I'm sure that the Lions will arrive 30 seconds before the game. I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Okay.
Seattle.
This would be a great game for the Lions to start off their season on that track that everyone thinks that they might be on, but they won't do it.
Right, that'd
Seahawks.
Be huge if they could come out and knock off the Seahawks.
Okay, that's it for the 1 o'clock games except for the Patriots. We'll save that to last. We're going to 4:15 now. Chicago at Green Bay.
Chicago. Green Bay State.
I'll take Chicago. Paul.
Chicago.
And I'm going to take Chicago. Sunday, 4:15, all eyes will be on the Cowboys who are visiting the Jaguars.
Cowboys.
Cowboys big.
Dallas.
Dallas here as well.
Wow, all four on the same team on that one.
Because our last impression of the Jaguars were a stinky football team.
Tom Curran, that's his first assignment. He'll be at that game.
4:15.
NBCSports.com.
Wow. 4:15, San Francisco at Cardinals. Did you hear the rumor that the Cardinals actually picked the 49ers to be
I have a feeling that rumor was started by Denny Green.
It could have been, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Cardinals win this game.
Really? Okay.
Cardinals. San Francisco stinks.
Yeah, so do the Cardinals.
Not as stinky as San Francisco.
Cardinals.
All right.
Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, they're opening up the stadium. It's going to have a lot of momentum, so I'll give the Cardinals the nod for that one. The Colts at the Giants. This could be a good game.
This could be a good game, and I am going to go, despite my Super Bowl pick, with the Giants at home. I think Tom's right. We were talking about it earlier. The defensive line and some of the things the Giants could be able to do, and I think Eli Manning is going to get off to another fast start and then fade as the year goes on, so I think he gets it done against his brother, and his brother, ooh, he might kill himself after
this. Why does
this
take an hour usually during the week?
I think this game's
going. We cut Paul out.
This game's going right down to the wire. I think this game's going right down to the wire. I think the Giants pose a lot of problems for the Colts. I have really no pick, but I'm just going to go with my AFC-NFC thing where I take the AFC in this situation, so I'm going to go with the Colts, but I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit if the Giants win
this
game.
Okay, this is a Sunday 8:15 game, by the way.
Giants.
Let's groove tonight.
Okay, so Eli versus Eli. See, I mean, Eli versus
Eli. I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
I'm going to go with the Giants in this game. I just think that they're going to have a good season.
Who are you going with?
Giants.
Wow, I'm the only one that has.
I don't know anything.
I have the Colts winning the Super Bowl, and I didn't even pick them.
The Monday game at 7 o'clock. Now, there's two Monday night games.
They're starting a Monday night game at 10:30, so I got to stay up till 3.
It's a Monday night doubleheader.
ESPN already sucks.
Other than that,
30 the first time he complains.
Other than that time that they canceled the game because of the hurricane, they played 2 on Monday night. Is this the first time they've actually had a legitimate Monday night doubleheader?
I believe so.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, come on. How much kids it take?
I think it's a terrible idea.
I think for a special one week season opener, I think it's great.
All right, tell you, it helps me because I usually don't make it to the end of a regular Monday night game, so I'm sure to see the end of the first one in this one, and then I just won't watch this.
Yeah, I say
you
that.
You start at 7 o'clock.
I won't watch much of the...
You can't be home by 7?
I work on Mondays.
The pool's closed. You won't be out in the pool like you normally are.
Right.
Vikings at Washington. Andy.
I'm going to take Washington despite my better thoughts.
Would you take I'm sorry, but Fred was talking over
Washington, despite the fact that I'm not confident.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with Andy. I hate this pick, but I'm going with the home team, Redskins.
Week one's tough.
I'll take Minnesota.
I'm going to take the Redskins. All right, the second Monday night game, 10:15. This is the Chargers at Oakland.
Chargers roll big. My boy Phil Rivers gets off to a tremendous start. 375 yards passing.
I'm not as confident as Andy, but I'll go with the Chargers.
Okay.
San Diego.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. Okay. Now, final game, of course, we skipped it. We'll go back to Sunday at 1. Buffalo visiting the Patriots in Gillette Stadium for the season home opener for the New England. I think we're all taking the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to beat the 10-point spread?
I do.
Yeah, unless the Bills get some big plays on special teams or defense like Bill talked about today, I think the Patriots win pretty comfortably.
31-7.
Really? That much?
Yep. Blowout.
Okay.
Patriots.
Patriots. By big? Big Paul?
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
By big?
Are you going to sulk, like, forever now?
Well, I mean, even when I wasn't saying anything, I was getting blamed for how quickly
he never throws out any. You never take cheap shots at anyone.
Whatever.
Well, see, the thing about Paul now is, like, he's on all these other shows. So we're amateurs.
Inevitably
we're amateurs, and Paul's the professional.
Right. Inevitably had to get back to that.
He's like that guy that called an EEI one day from ESPN. We're going to BS all day. We're going to talk football. And he sulked and went off the air.
Is that right?
But Fred works.
Is that what happened?
No, you don't do any work. Fred's the only one that works.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, quickly. Ohio State, Texas. Fred.
So how
Ohio
long are we going here?
Andy.
Texas. He's the real McCoy.
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
All right.
That's a tiebreaker.
Plus, John Rook liked him.
No kidding.
Of course, he's a little bit biased.
That's going to do it for the sucky.
Don't forget, next week, full in-season schedule. Patriots Monday on Monday. We're on from 12 to 2, Tuesday through Friday. Don't forget the new edition, Patriots Friday, on Friday from 4 to 7. We'll see you next week.